700 years before medieval Europe ever captured or shipped one black soul, one African, out of Africa. The Arabs had created the trade. They ran the trade. And they control the trade to this day, where it's seen as a status symbol to have African slaves in your haram, which is the godlike heaven zone that a lord lives in. Haram, the hidden, the secret, the heaven. And all over the world, the ultra-rich Islamists have black servants.
They sell Africans over there, in Libya. They sell men. Even 15-year-old Libyans are there in a car, they're armed. They'll come and kidnap you, and they'll sell you for $70 to $150. And then others will resell you.
As soon as you arrive in Libya, the first thing that happens is that you are taken away and sold.
Like an animal, I was sold four times in open markets in Libya. The last time I was sold for $10,000, I was tortured every day.
The worldwide hub for the slave trade all over the Pacific Ocean, starting 700 years before any blacks were sold by whites, was Somalia. And the light-skinned Arabs there did not allow their people to marry anyone from Kenya or the surrounding areas. They got slaves from as far away as Nigeria.
Avevo ero colto più di loro di alcuni, però a causa della mia razza o della mia tribù che era considerata inferiore, ero discriminato e considerato schiavo. Mi portava a non amare più di stare lì, costretto a andare, perché loro i somali ogni momento dicevano che io ero un tanzaniano.
Well, what we're finding is that Libya is now a broken economy without any rule. It's got a very small population, 6 million people, and the size of Libya is twice the size of France. So it's a small population, and they seem to be essentially living off the migrant trade. From migrants being passed from one to another, being exploited as laborers who don't get paid, or simply being abused in different ways and being sold on for profit. So it's kind of a shocking situation, and it's very difficult to know what can be done about it because the country is in such chaos, and as we know, ISIS are there. There are different militias. There's no central government of any name.
Now, this is currently going on. Ilhan Omar is an Arab, and it talks about she is a god. You look up her name, it's one of the dominant families in Somalia that is known as royalty, basically, and known as rulers of humans or rulers of slaves. Piracy, kidnapping, black slavery, white slavery. She's a god. And she comes to rule you, and you will bow. You will hit that damn knee.
Sensitive for its citizens. Translation? Google is helping China silence its political opposition.
China's chilling dictatorship is moving quickly to introduce social scorecards in which all citizens will be monitored 24/7 and ranked on their behavior.
A higher rating means you get benefits like no deposit of renting house or skipping airport security. But a low score means you can't rent a car or apply for visas. The Chinese government expects to make this system mandatory in 2020.
Google is planning to launch a censored version of its search engine in China.
The Chinese government, as people probably know, has a quite comprehensive.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, they have caught deep state spies inside the White House stealing national security information. Things are about to explode.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
As I told you 2.5 years ago, the White House was chopped full, absolutely crammed to the gills with deep state operatives, both from the neocon and the leftist globalist wings. They were spying on President Trump the entire time and leaking twisted information. They would take anything and everything Trump did and then leak the classified info, but mix lies into it as well, trying to derail the country. They engaged in shadow diplomacy, where they would know what the president's moves were going to be. That would be given to Barack Obama, to John Kerry, to Hillary Clinton, and others. Well, several of those spies have been discovered. A lot more of those spies are going to be discovered, and these documents are being released to Congress. This should be the top story in the nation. But of course, if you're not on InfoWars.com or DrudgeReport.com or TheGatewayPundit.com, you're not going to hear anything about it. But the headline on InfoWars.com is Deep State Spies Caught Stealing National Security Information from the White House. It's all completely illegal, just like Sandy Berger snuck into the bubble in the Capitol and went in and got classified information that exposed Bill Clinton and put it in his socks and got caught because he wanted it out of there. There was only one copy. He was afraid someone would read it. Well, he barely even served any time for that, ladies and gentlemen. So that's the type of things they're up to, and it's cut and dry illegal. And the word is three different federal grand juries are hearing the evidence for indictment, and the word is the indictments are going to be handed down. James Comey, of course, gave the order illegally, and nothing criminal was found. But the act of stealing the classified data and the act of putting a spy in the White House totally violates the separation of powers. It shows a rogue agency. I'm going to be covering this at the bottom of the hour in detail with the documents, the names, the facts. We've got them all right here. We're going to go over those. And I'm also waiting on a phone call that I'm going to be taking during the next break with more information on this, because I was told about this not just 2.5 years ago, but obviously we've been breaking that down, and we have some good sources that are going to tell us exactly who the other indictments are going to be of, reportedly. So this is a big, big, big deal, and we'll be looking at all of it coming up at the bottom of the hour in about 20 minutes from now. Here's what else we've got for you today, ladies and gentlemen. AOC, U.S. must have lifelong commitment to migrant children, health care services for life. That's right. You heard that right. She says they're victims of concentration camps. They're made to drink out of toilets. They've been so abused that they need free services and psychological services for life, she told the London Guardian. Now, you've seen hundreds of lawsuits filed, all asking for $3 million if children were separated for even an hour from their parents while it was verified who they were with, or if the living conditions weren't the Ritz-Carlton, supposedly, $3 million apiece of taxpayer money. You see, when you come here to get free stuff and you bring your kids across dangerous deserts and pay smugglers to do it, and a lot of them aren't their parents, they use them to mule drugs across. How do you turn that around when you're a criminal group engaging in crime and sucking off people and endangering your children? Many times not even your children. Well, you turn around and say, concentration camps, and we deserve more free stuff for the rest of our lives. Well, Tlaib, we'll play a clip in a moment, the Islamic congresswoman from Detroit, the burnout rubble of that once great city, she's saying that everyone deserves $20 an hour. Even though Bernie Sanders had to lay off a lot of his employees or a lot of his campaign people or cut them from 60 hours to 43 hours because they demanded to go from $13 an hour to
$15 an hour, but Sanders was paying them time and a half, and so they had to get the extra 20 hours cut because time and a half for 13 is obviously a lot of money, but time and a half for 15 is even more. So he's learning about economics. He's never run a business. He's swindled colleges and has $3 million plus homes and drives $118,000 cars. I actually looked it up. $118,000 car. I've never had a $100,000 car. I mean, this is just all going on here, but he's going to tell you that you've got to hire people for $15 an hour. Now, in New York, you pretty much need that. Not in South Texas. The owner of the little, you know, hot dog shack doesn't make $15 an hour. So it's just insane. So here's Tlaib offering more free stuff, you know, free housing, free transportation, free education, free healthcare, free. And now $20. Here it is.
But $2.13 as a tipped employee take $2.13 per hour federally. Some states, of course, here in Michigan, it's over $3.50 or so. But think about that for 1 minute. And people cannot live on those kinds of wages. And we can't allow people to be living off of tipped employees, relying on tipped wages. It's just not, or whatever they call it, tipped income, because it's just not enough to support our families. But I also want to always tell a story because...
Okay, I can't listen anymore of this. You heard her say $20, which again, when you add in all the taxes and the regulations and the Social Security, somebody being paid $20 an hour is being paid like $26, $27 an hour. Nobody can pay that in your average retail shop or wherever. A lot of times, little retail shops aren't selling but a couple hundred dollars of things an hour. How do you pay for the lights, the regulations, the insurance, the rent, or the property taxes and the employees? It's insane. But the New York Times says we need a $33 an hour. Do you know what inflation will do if they did that too? Again, this would sink the economy. You know what the average wage in China is, right? It's $2 an hour. How are we going to compete with Mexico that's got less than $2 an hour being the average wage? Well, the answer is you're not going to do it. And the country is going to go belly up, which is the Democrats' plan. Cloward and Piven is to wreck the economy to be able to completely and totally, absolutely take it over. We're going to go to break, and I'm going to come back and get more into this. But the idea that you get here and you're entitled to free stuff for life because you're a victim, it's like slave reparations. But then meanwhile, Ilhan Omar comes from the upper caste elite tribe of Somalis. That specialty is slavery to this day, but only of subhuman blacks. They have a name for it. We just played in the first segment, if you missed it, documentaries with black Africans from Kenya, who, by the way, on average have higher IQs than Somalis. I looked it up and are stronger and everything else. But of course they're saying they're subhuman when if you look at all the African tribes, the Kenyans are pretty noble folks. Definitely compared to the Somalis. So it's just amazing inversion of reality, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute inversion of reality. So that's all coming up today and so much more. Please do not forget, we got DNA Force Plus back in stock. It is the strongest PQQ, CoQ10, Resitol, just all of the things that are award-winning, all the things that are seen as the very best out there, it's in there. ELV ATP, that's the ingredient of the year by the Nutra Ingredients Awards Conference, increases cellular energy levels, improves athletic performance. CoQ10, PQQ, and it just goes on and on. Astragalus, Reishi Mushroom, Alpha lipoic acid, rhodiola. I mean, I just can't go over all this, folks. Transresveratrol, cordyceps, sinusitis. It's the best of the best for your cells, for your body, for your brain. It's DNA Force Plus, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Are being concentrated. This is very simple. I don't even know why this is a controversial thing for her to say. We have to really truthfully speak about what's taking place, and this is why it's really important for us to abolish ICE and make sure that we have an agency that is accountable to the people, that is dealing with the situation in a humane way. There's no way that we can allow for kids to be caged in this country, and children to be separated from their families, and people being terrorized in their communities. We have to make sure that we are calling it out, and I am 100% with Alex.
Watching the midterms, then you would think our country is Mad Max Thunderdome. This guy is like, they're coming from Guatemala, they're coming from Mexico. There's a liberal mob that's coming.
You voted Trump! You voted Trump!
Oh, we did.
For the president. You ain't support
Muslims. And you would think everybody in the country is just like to the bunker.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are. They are concentration camps. And if that doesn't bother you, I want to talk to the people that are concerned enough with humanity to say that we should not, that never again means something, and that the fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing, and we need to do something about it. This week, immigrant children were moved to the same internment camps where the Japanese were held in the earlier 20th century. And this is not just about the immigrant communities being held in concentration camps being a crisis. This is a crisis for ourselves. This is a crisis on if America will remain America in its actual principles and values, or if we are losing to an authoritarian and fascist presidency. And so I think that is, I don't use those words lightly. I don't use those words to just throw bombs. I use that word because that is what an administration that creates concentration camps is. A presidency that creates concentration camps is fascist. And it's very difficult to say that.
This is what organizing looks like.
Right.
This is what building power looks like. This is what changing the country looks like. It's when we choose to show up and occupy the room and talk about the things that matter most, talking about our future. You know, Reverend, you bring up a funny anecdote, and I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors...
Hey guys, did you hear the news? Guardians of the Galaxy is canceled because the lead actor Chris Pratt wore a really insensitive shirt. Now I have to warn you before I show it to you that viewer discretion is advised. Are you ready? Okay, that was scary. So last week, Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt was walking around town with his wife, being normal human beings, when a crazed paparazzi decided to take a photo of the two of them. And somehow, for some reason I can't comprehend, this photo of him holding a water bottle in one hand and his wife in the other turned into one of the biggest stories of the week on the internet. Why? Well, let's look closer. Look at that shirt. That's right. It was his shirt of all things that caused a huge controversy online and sent leftists into a panic. A t-shirt of an American flag with the words "Don't Tread on Me," which, by the way, you can get right now at InfoWarsStore.com for only $17.76. This t-shirt made liberals all over Twitter call him the forbidden R-word. It even led to Yahoo News publishing a full-blown hit piece on Pratt and accused him of wearing a white Super Sauce shirt. We have to say Super Sauce so the YouTube gods don't come after us. Just look at this headline. Chris Pratt criticized for white Super Sauce t-shirt. This article was so bad that they had to change the headline to Chris Pratt criticized for t-shirt choice. In fact, they even included an update at the top of the article that says, "This article was updated on 17 July with the initial headline, Chris Pratt criticized for white Super Sauce t-shirt, being amended to Chris Pratt criticized for t-shirt choice. References to white Super Sauce in this article have been removed." But that didn't stop Yahoo from publishing another article that same day. Chris Pratt is in hot water for this controversial t-shirt, and the internet has thoughts. This article, by the way, has plenty of references to white Super Sauce. The article reads, "The coiled rattlesnake with the 'Don't Tread on Me' message is the iconography associated with the Gadsden flag, created by Continental Army Brigadier General Christopher Gadsden. While the flag's original purpose wasn't rooted in white Super Sauce, it has been adopted by some white Super Sauces in the far-right groups in recent years. In some of these instances, swaffles." Yeah, we'll go with that. "Have been added to the design." Who adds a swaffle to a... So when Pratt was spotted wearing a shirt with the Gadsden design, some people quickly drew a parallel between Pratt's wardrobe choice and the less positive...
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Okay, here's what's going on. I'm going to be back live next hour. I'm working on a big story right here, and I've got to make some phone calls. And this is some big stuff about the latest attempted coup against the president and against the country. And then Lord Monckton's going to be joining us as well with big new developments exposing the fact that they know man-made global warming and climate change is a fraud. Of course, we already know that, but a bunch of major studies, a bunch of big admissions, that's going to be coming up as well today. But I don't normally air something over and over and over again, but I've aired this already three times. I'm going to air it again. It's Professor Robert Epstein, who's a psychologist and runs big computer science programs, works with DARPA, you name it. He testified, as you know, last week that Google's already stealing the election along with Facebook. And if it doesn't get stopped, we will see the election stolen in 2020. So this is a paramount issue. And then next hour, I am going to start the hour off getting into the espionage and the spies caught inside the White House and really how deep all of that goes. So we'll be back. I'll be back live next hour with all of that information. And we're going to be breaking it all down. It's very, very important. So please stay with us.
Google's manipulation of votes gave at least 2.6 million additional votes to Hillary Clinton in the year 2016. Is that correct?
2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes, depending on how aggressive they were in using the techniques that I've been studying. They control these, and no one can counteract them. These are not competitive. These are tools that they have at their disposal exclusively.
Your testimony is that Google is, through bias in search results, manipulating voters in a way they're not aware of.
On a massive scale, in 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace. Without monitoring systems in place, we'll never know what these companies are doing. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences, and I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
A handful of Silicon Valley billionaires and giant corporations are able to spend millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars collectively, massively influencing the results of elections.
Senator, with respect, I must correct you.
Please.
If Mark Zuckerberg chooses to send out a go vote reminder just to Democrats on election day, that doesn't cost him a dime.
Google is developing an app to screen out content that the Chinese government considers too sensitive for its citizens. Translation: Google is helping China silence its political opposition.
China's chilling dictatorship is moving quickly to introduce social scorecards in which all citizens will be monitored 24/7 and ranked on their behavior.
A higher rating means you get benefits like no deposit of renting house or skipping airport security. But a low score means you can't rent a car or apply for visas. The Chinese government expects to make this system mandatory in 2020.
Google is planning to launch a censored version of its search engine in China.
The Chinese government, as people probably know, has a quite comprehensive internet censorship system set up, and it's known as the Great Firewall. It blocks all kinds of information about, you know, political opponents of the ruling Communist Party regime there. All kinds of things that they're blocking out.
Companies agreed to ban particular sites or search times on topics like human rights, democracy, and free speech.
You know Google's really the CIA, but it's leftist run now, so it's run over to China, and it's a civil war inside the intelligence agencies.
These are serious people plotting to finagle the searches, which is what Google sells to us as being fair and unbiased.
Google alone could determine the outcome of almost any American election just by altering its search suggestions. We'd never know what happened.
Well, Google is being accused of hiding negative stories about Hillary and her campaign by changing its algorithm to bury stories like the Clinton body count story. That's according to website InfoWars.
So Google won't work with the Pentagon on artificial intelligence, but it's officially moved its main operations for AI to China and is merging with the Chinese government, letting them have all the technology.
So they're working on behalf of the fascist Chinese government,
I think,
sending propaganda to its people to keep them under the control of the government. But we shouldn't worry about the fact that they have a chokehold on all human information in English. Not a big deal.
I mean, that's a lot you just said there, but I think we should be worrying.
And it's all true.
So Google always swears that its liberal, anti-Trump views of the top people doesn't affect the search product.
But here is documented proof of some Google executives wanting to tamper with searches as a form of political activism.
The Chinese government, let's remember, imprisons dissidents and Christians daily. They have more than a million Muslims in re-education camps. But the legitimate election of President Trump somehow conflicts with Google's vaunted values? Give me a break.
Google was working to get Hillary Clinton elected.
If a Google user types in Clinton body, they get car repair shop results instead of a story that talks about a list of people tied to the Clintons who have died under mysterious circumstances over the last three decades.
A new bombshell development reveals Hillary Clinton's leaked emails were likely responsible for the deaths of up to 20 CIA agents working in China.
Over a dozen CIA agents may have been killed as a result of Hillary Clinton's leaked emails.
The real election meddling is by Facebook and Google and others that are shadow banning people, that are outright banning people, and that are blocking conservatives involved in their own First Amendment political speech. Shame on the mainstream corporate media for not defending the First Amendment, but instead attack dogging, calling for federal regulators to shut down independent free press working with big tech.
You're not allowed to get the InfoWars official app on your iPhone. You're not allowed to watch the Alex Jones Show on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. But if you're the Chinese government and you want access to every citizen and all their data and everything they've ever done on an Apple product, good to go, baby. Good to go. And the left in America loves it.
We're going to move to the east, to the Horn of Africa and Somalia, the most dangerous, backward, evil country in the world. And you know why Somalia is so bad? Because African countries all around it have driven the Arab slavers in the last 1,000 years, the Muslim slavers, into the Horn of Africa, where it was the center of the slave trade of Africans all over the world. Once the Roman Empire fell, white slaves were the main slave group. Africans that were rich had white slaves. It was just because that's who was trained and where they got slaves. It was Gaul, that's France today, Germania, which is Austria and Germany, the Britons and others, who they called Gaelic, out of, what's the UK today? Old Albion, England. But after the fall of the Roman Empire, the Western Empire, then the fall of the Eastern Empire in Constantinople, when the Islamists took it, civilization collapsed in Western Europe. And there wasn't any good slaves being brought in anymore. And so that Muslims started enslaving Africans over 1,000 years ago. And that's why Ilhan Omar doesn't look African. She's an elite Somali. The upper class Somalis are light skinned. They are Muslims and they are slave traffickers. They sell black slaves today to four countries that still allow slavery. It's still customary in several Arab countries to have black house slaves. That's the truth, folks. That's what they don't want you to know. I bet you a lot of money she comes from slavers. And you're literally looking at someone that comes from the hub of 1,000 years of black slavery. Ilhan Omar, guaranteed in her lineage, is pure slaver. They ship slaves out of Somalia all the way to Indonesia. And then as you project out towards the east, to the far east, you will see all the islands and countries they've taken over in the last 1,000 years since Islam 1,400 years ago went expansionist. And again,
live, raw, and unfiltered, it's the Alex Jones Show.
I hope all the viewers and listeners understand something. But I think you do. You've got discernment. I don't have a filter. What you see on air is who I am. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm super pissed at myself. I'm angry at what I've done the last year or so. Because, well, let me just explain it. When I take the supplements that we sell that are the highest quality, best researched, that are all the missing links of nutrition that the globalists have by design imposed on us so that we are deficient, so that we are dumbed down, so that we are weak, so that we are lethargic. And I myself preach that we should be healthy and prepared, and then I don't do it. I'm not as healthy. People notice that. And then I'm not promoting it as much. Instead, I'm just saying, support us. Get the products. That's how we fund our operation. That's secondary. If I'm bringing you the best products, like DNA Force Plus, I'm about to break down, then it's going to work great for you, and you're going to want to reorder it, which is a 360 win, a symbiotic relationship, a non-zero-sum game. And I know the problems. I've talked about it before. Almost 8 years ago, I was 80-plus pounds overweight. I was exercising every day, but all the chemicals in the environment, I couldn't lose the weight. I went on X2. I went on the first key products that we promoted that we knew were the best out there, and the weight just poured off of me. But then over the years, I get busy. I'm working hard. I run out of the vitamins and the minerals. I don't have an auto ship set up. And then I'm lethargic. I'm not working out. The same thing happens again, especially as you get older. So about 3 weeks ago, I religiously began to take X2 every morning. I religiously began to take fish oil every morning. I religiously began at lunch to take my DNA Force Plus that's so critical. And I've already lost 7 pounds as of yesterday. I didn't weigh today, and my workouts are explosive compared to where they were. I'm doing 3 times the sets. I'm working out for 1.5 hours. The sweat's pouring off. I'm feeling great. I feel like I'm 20 again, and so I'm committing this time. I'm committing. In fact, I'm going to walk around the room. You guys bring the mic in here, please. Folks, I'm telling you, this doesn't just fund the operation, which is a win-win by itself. This literally empowers patriots' bodies and helps us with the tools God gave us. And the evidence, the science is all there. Thank you, Scott. Is it on? Thank you. Before we went on today, I told the crew, please get my mobile mic ready. And I'm going to tell you right now why I did that. I've done live shows before where I just wore a pair of sunglasses. And back when we were on YouTube, it'd get like 3 times more views if I wore sunglasses or a cowboy hat, because it's out of the ordinary. People ask themselves, what's different about this? So today I decided to get the mic here and, you know, stand up, because I want to note to everybody, this is special. This is important. I'm 45 years old. When I was 35, I swam up to 2 miles a day sometimes and would jog and couldn't lose weight because I didn't have the missing links. I was deficient in things that nobody ever told me I was deficient in. I knew all about the Private Federal Reserve, the Trilateral Commission, the New World Order, Jeffrey Epstein and the pedophile rings. I knew all about geopolitical systems and the old Soviet Union and how the globals put the Chi-Coms in. But I didn't know about PQQ. I didn't know about CoQ10. I didn't know about all this. And I didn't know about clean iodine. And yeah, I want to fund my operation. I want you to get products that have changed my life and changed so many other people's lives that have 98% reviews. And then experience that I'm not BSing you. So that for some of you, maybe in the first time in your life, you're going to experience somebody that treats you like they want to be treated. Let me tell you something right now. You see DNA Force? I went out to top manufacturers, the most respected, most highly tested. And I said, I want the strongest PQQ CoQ10 overall formula that has pure non-synthetic stuff in it that's ever been put on the market. And they said, well, that's like a $22 each bottle. I said, I want to put $50 a bottle in it. They said, nobody's ever done that. Then I signed a contract to double the amount I was going to buy. I got it down to $30-something a bottle for what it cost me to make this. Nobody does that. Ladies and gentlemen, you read what's in this and you research every ingredient in this and then you experience it for yourself. It's incredible. There's nothing like what God gave us through Mother Nature. There's nothing as strong. And you look at all the things that are in this. Elv ATP, the number one ingredient in 2008, winning all the awards for increased cellular energy levels and improves athletic performance. CoQ10, we have the best form of it. The ingredient was popularized and studied by Dr. Peter Mitchell and won the Nobel Prize for CoQ10. This is a Nobel Prize winning ingredient. PQQ, we got the best form of that. This ingredient has won multiple awards, including Ingredient with Best Science. There are over 1,000 published studies on PQQ health benefits. You might want to go read them. They make your telomeres last longer. That's the DNA. They literally rejuvenate the cells and the engines in them. And again, I get in the habit of getting so busy, I forget to eat breakfast most mornings. I almost didn't eat lunch today. They're like, hey, you're being a jerk. Eat lunch. I was better after that. You take the X2. You take the X3. You take the body's turmeric. You take the DNA force, because this is the next level. You get a great response from it, and you fund the second American Revolution worldwide. But I want to be clear. Whether it's X2 or whether it's DNA Force Plus, this stuff isn't a game. I chopped my finger off 15 years ago helping people on the lake whose boat was on fire. Old Kevin Booth was there. It's a long story short. It was quite a fiasco. The finger was still numb until I took the original DNA Force 5 years ago. Feeling came back in it. You can actually say, because it's patented, that it regrows nerves. Now, that doesn't mean if you've broken your back and you're paralyzed, it's going to, you know, reconnect those giant nerves. But I had old back pains and things and old areas that were numb from football injuries where the nerves were so dead I had no feeling. The back pain came back, and then the back pain went away. So what I'm saying is, it's not all just roses to have your nerves come back. You need to know PQQ, CoQ10, and the other ingredients in this aren't child's play. This is stuff God gave us. It's powerful. So consult your physician before you take it, because it could interact with something else you're involved in. Because we're not selling placebos. We're not selling snake oil. We're selling the most powerful nutraceuticals on the market, because I want to be that guy that puts out the best fish oil. I want to be the guy that puts out the best iodine. I want to be the guy that puts out the best turmeric concentrate. I want to be the guy that when you order the products we sell, you go, man, his info is not just good. His products are amazing, because I want a relationship with you, and I want to have a better world with you, and I want to dominate the globalists, and I want you to be healthy, because that's what I want for myself. And we're all connected. And anybody that tells you we're not connected is a Satanist. They may not know they're a Satanist. But Satanism is believing you're alone and believing that what you do doesn't come back on you. Listen, I'm a total individualist. But we are all collectively tied to each other. I believe individual freedom, but not at the expense of others. And that's the freedom and the free will God gave us, is to be individuals but collectively connected, not individuals who don't care about anybody but ourselves. So I want to encourage everybody, learn about the secret history of iodine and the IQ reduction when you don't take it. Learn about PQQ, CoQ10, Resveratrol, and all the other things. I mean, there's so many that are in R-alpha, lipoic acid, rhodiola, astragalus, reishi, Resveratrol. I mean, I just don't have time to go over it all. And they're all the best, the highest quality, and they fund the information war. This bottle could be full of air. It's not. It's full of the highest quality product. And it would still fund a revolution against tyranny. It would still stand up for unborn babies and born babies and our very country's existence. But just like our information is powerful, this product is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I'm so proud of it. So know this, when you get DNA Force Plus, it takes a few weeks to kick in, just like the iodine, because it changes the entire metabolic system in the body from the research that I've done in my own personal experience. And it's big medicine. It's big mojo. It's big. It's not globalist crap. It delivers. So check it out today. Both products, DNA Force Plus and the high-quality iodine X2 and X3. So that's three products. They're all 50% off right now, so you can experience these. A lot of you have already experienced it. You get great results, you forget about it, like I did. Get back on it. A lot of you stay on it. A lot of people haven't tried it yet, and they need to experience it right now. InfoWarsLife.com for the X2, the X3, and, of course, the DNA Force Plus. Today, 50% off during this sale.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Comments from the White House are disgraceful and disgusting, and the comments are racist.
The chair will remind all members, please, please do not make comments toward personality-based or personality-based comments.
This whole Ilhan Omar, the Jihad Squad, all of it, really illustrates what a bunch of cowards the Republican establishment is, and how you turn on any channel, they're saying, well, what the president has said is racist, and he needs to walk it back. No, Ilhan Omar has openly said she doesn't like this country. She said that she's going to teach us how to be patriotic.
If you go back into the four congresswomen, the things they've said about our country are terrible. What they've said about Israel are just terrible. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but certainly a lot of people say they hate our country, and I think it's a disgrace.
And so since the first day this president introduced the Muslim ban, knowing that the country I came from was on that, and that my country now was on the track of implementing fascist laws, I knew that I had to speak up.
She comes to this country and squats on us and spits in our face, and we're supposed to bow down to her. You don't go to Mexico or someplace and run your mouth about how it sucks. They'd say, get the hell out if you don't like it. And that's how any other country in the world who isn't totally brainwashed acts. We're not saying get out of here because your background is an Arab slave family, Arab slave traders. We're saying because you're an arrogant, America-hating liar that says we're running concentration camps and our overworked Border Patrol are Nazis killing children.
Right now, the president is committing human rights abuses at the border, keeping children in cages, and having human beings drinking out of toilets.
Ilhan Omar goes along with the lie that children are drinking out of toilets. She came here as a refugee. She married her brother. She wrote letters to federal judges to get ISIS terrorists out of prison. She voted against bill blocking terrorists from life insurance. The woman is a cancer.
I know there are a lot of people that are trying to distract us now, but I want you all to know that we are not going to let them.
And the crowd was right behind her.
To me, she's far more patriotic than the people who were at the rally chanting last night. And when I hear that, it makes me afraid.
I'm concerned that Trump is building a militia, to be honest with you.
Are there folks from Africa that come here that are great people? Absolutely. I've run into people that have immigrated here from Africa who are hardworking, smart, nice people, because they know to appreciate a country like the U.S. compared to some of the places they've come from. But a lot of people are brought here and have chips put on their shoulders by the left and by leaders the Democrats give them, like Ilhan Omar. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're live for the rest of the broadcast today. I punched out last two segments because I didn't want to go off half-cocked with what I was about to talk about. So I went and reviewed in the last 30 minutes or so a lot of court documents, a lot of research, made some phone calls so that I could talk about what's currently happening, because I realized that I've been so busy covering all the other big subjects, I'm so sick of Russiagate. But the criminal investigation of Russiagate and the espionage that was carried out by the deep state, that is a huge story. And it's all about to come out in the open. And this also tells us whether Bob Barr is a good guy or not. So I'm really ready to lay out some big stuff on the side, other side of this quick break. And these type of things really upset me. It's very sad our country's gotten into this position. Stay with us.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We're now 6 minutes into hour number two on this July 23rd, 2019 worldwide simulcast of radio and TV blasting out over the internet and on AM and FM and TV stations across the country and the world. The whole situation with the attempt by the entrenched bureaucracy or the deep state to keep President Trump from getting into office and then attempting to remove him from office is the greatest string of arrogant, outrageous, over-the-top criminal activity and treason and espionage against this nation. And then the subsequent lying and perjury and changing of stories is the most spectacular ever seen as well. But the country's 246 years old. It's gotten more and more corrupt over time. And as we become more powerful, the corruption has become more intense. As Lord Acton famously said, power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So here's the summation. And we have the live feed named today up on newswars.com. Deep state caught spying on Trump and stealing national security information from the White House. What they did was a crime. And then how they would leak the information with lies sewn into it is also extremely criminal. Now, Trump's known all this, a lot of this, since the head of the NSA at the time came over and visited him when he was president-elect at Trump Tower and gave him a good idea of what was going on. We knew what was going on because we were studying the globalists and their statements and their past activities, and they were very arrogant about it when he was president-elect. They said, we've been spying on him. We got proof he's a Russian agent. And Trump said, well, if you did, that's illegal. Show us your proof. They went, oh, we never said that. So there's a lot goes into this, but here's the big announcement. They haven't caught just one or two or three or four. They have caught dozens of people that have been in the White House 2.5 plus years, and even before when he was president-elect, who've been actively trying to frame and set up the president. That itself another giant crime. And now a particular federal judge has been releasing tranches or segments of documents from Comey's blackmail diary that show his testimony to Congress was a lie and that show who was spying on who and then how they would leak fantastic lies from their, quote, sources. So I've got several articles here in front of me. Everybody needs to go read, but the reason this is a big issue is the federal judge is now ordering that it all be released in the next month without redaction, which shows the power structure now knows that Trump has the upper hand. And that shows that Bill Barr, the former attorney general, now the current attorney general, the reason he was confirmed so quickly was the establishment couldn't believe they were putting their guy, a fixer, from the George Herbert Walker days, from the CIA, not just the FBI. They couldn't believe they were putting this guy in, but he was there to cover their butt, but to sue for peace with Trump. But they've not sued for peace. They're still trying to take Trump out. And so Barr's asking all this stuff be redacted because it exposes the Clintons and Obama and the illegal spying and the planting and all the rest of it. So they don't know. They don't know what to do. Because the left just can't stop their impeachment. They can't stop their fake Mueller investigation tomorrow. They can't stop the lie that Trump's a Russian agent because that's how they started the fake national security investigation to begin with and told people in the CIA and FBI, we have proof, we're going to take him out, get ready. Including, and you're going to hear this soon, plans to kill the president because he was a, quote, Russian asset. But a lot of their own people got cold feet when Trump got inaugurated and then when the country turned around and then when they learned that the dossier was fake. their own people were buying this. And that's in all these documents. They really thought Trump was a Russian agent when the Hillary and Obama are CHICOM agents. And that's all illustrated now all over the news. It's all coming out. So they've discovered not just one, not just two, not just three, but a bunch of these people, and it's all coming out, and so that's why they're so panicked. And there are multiple, I'm told, three grand juries in D.C., Virginia, and Maryland, at least, that are going to be returning indictments against some of these individuals. And you need to go read these articles. One's from The Last Refuge, and it links to all the court documents and statements. James Comey had designated FBI spy in the White House, who now works for CNN. This report goes through everything. I'm going to read some of this in a moment. Comey, cyber spy in White House, stole classified White House material, is now working for CNN. And, of course, his name is Anthony Faronte. And we can roll some B-roll of him on CNN hosting shows. I queued that up about 30 minutes ago. Now, this individual is just one of them. And he works for the deep state. And it comes out that he was working with the Italian government, reportedly, to plant on Italian citizens' computers that own server companies WikiLeaks info, to then plant it in the U.S. to then set up Trump. And that's all come out in the Italian courts. It's just bombshell information to have all of this going on. So these individuals decided to set up the president. They decided to frame him, but there was literally nothing. And so this individual was supposedly in the White House advising Trump on national security, on cybersecurity, while he was in the Russia investigation run by Hillary and her people and Obama in the deep state, and again, trying to then find ways to plant info on the president. And these articles go through all of this. It's beyond sensational. Now we already know all this. But the fact is, we now learn that Mr. Barr understands this can blow up the whole government. So he's in there saying Trump did nothing wrong, and that's all true. They're attacking him. But now we learn he's actually in there, just like I said he was, totally and completely protecting Brennan, Clapper, Hillary, all of them. Because they have all the damning evidence of the perjury to Congress, the illegally spying, didn't have authorization from the attorney general to do this to the president, and the attorney general can't do that. Even if you say, oh, we think the president's a Russian agent, we've got to do this, you still go to Congress for an impeachment. Or every president would be accused of being a foreign asset. Globalism is a foreign asset. Globalism is overthrowing the country. Globalism is saying we can't say America or American in colleges. Or that we can't say that our country's exceptional. And CNN says America sucks. These Trump supporters love America. They're bad people. That's the enemy. That's the outsider. That's the globalist. They're the ones that want our economy imploded and are trying to implode it. You judge a tree by its fruits. And the fruit of the Democrat deep state tree is poison. The fruit of the neocon tree is poison. Total and complete poison. So when we come back, I'm going to run through these court documents. And I'm going to get into what's coming out next. But the judge has ruled it's all coming out. And it's a total blueprint, a lot of it's already out, of treason, ladies and gentlemen, a blueprint of trying to remove the president. But the president was so clean, there was nothing there. I'm Alex Jones with NewsWars.com and InfoWars.com. We're beating the deep state together. So I salute you, the crew, and everybody else for making this broadcast possible. Have been caught inside the White House working for multinational corporations, using their government credentials to carry out the fraud and theft. Massive amounts of national security data has been stolen and sold to CNN, MSNBC, and others, who then sell the information to foreign governments. You see, globalism itself is espionage against the nation state and against the people of the nation state. And now, federal judges are releasing documents and are set to release documents exposing the full criminal extent of how President Trump was spied on when he was a candidate, when he was president-elect, and when he was president, and how they tried to set him up, and how they perjured themselves to Congress. This thing is more than coming to a head. It's like a volcano when it explodes. And this is all being reported right now. We have major federal government watchdog groups. We have federal judges coming out and laying all this out. And if you're a TV viewer, we're putting the judges' rulings on screen, all of it. But let me just get into the basic facts here, because this thing is like a cake that's been baked. We heard the ping on the timer, and that lets us know the next shoe is about to drop. My sources told me a week ago, and it just got lost in the haze of battle. Hey, get ready. They are going to indict people. They got three grand juries open, and the word is they're getting ready to indict. It's why the Democrats are so damn scared. It's why they're bringing Mueller back. He doesn't want to testify. He knows that his mentor, Bill Barr, who brought him in, that's who brought him in, has told him, you need to stop. Trump's got the royal flush. And unless you assassinate him, he's going to destroy you. And the president has been convinced to back off, but then they've broken the deal. The president doesn't want destabilization. He doesn't want this to happen to the FBI and the CIA, but they're hopelessly corrupt sewers at the top. This is a long-time deep state civil war coming to a head. I have documents on that as well. So Real Clear Investigations and others break all this down. I've done deep research on this. I can tell you it's very, very accurate. And it just lays out how Bill Barr has been trying to suppress all this. But now multiple federal judges have ordered that even more of the damning documents come out. And yes, stunningly, Judge Bossberg has ordered the archery declarations to be fully released to the public without redactions. And it goes through Comey's notes, everything. That means all those black boxes in the example above would have been removed. And so now the new groups of documents be released from the whole fake Russiagate, that's really a blueprint of their crimes against the American people and against our electoral process, are going to be released unredacted. And so Bill Barr tried to protect the power structure, but the power structure was so hopelessly corrupt and senile and arrogant that they're continuing to attack. And so now Trump is going on the attack. And that's really the big news here. There's so many things here. Trump's going on the attack. The grand juries are out, set to indict. I was told judges are about to just release it all, because if the agencies won't do it, Trump's got judges that will. That's happening. We've been following every step of this. And it's a giant world, a giant cosmology. It'd be like if somebody told me, describe to me the Lord of the Rings trilogy. How do you describe, three books, thousands of pages? Well, imagine trying to describe how big this is. But you've all been living it. You've all been seeing it. And when you look at the arrogance of people like Anthony, the FBI minion, Fenate, and the things that he's done, and just how they believe that they're invincible and how they can get away with anything they want, that's just not the case. And again, he's been working as a consultant before and after at CNN, bringing them the national security goodies, because Trump would talk about something in a meeting and then he'd see it that night on CNN, but with lies added to it. And so Trump started planting disinfo. And then he was figuring out who was in the meetings, who was doing it, what was happening. So imagine trying to run a government when you're surrounded by all these people who brag. Oh, we don't listen to him. Oh, when he signs an order, we just throw it away and hope he forgets about it. To where Trump now has to carry around a little notebook with notes on what he's told him to do, and he has to go back through that notebook. Never had to do that as a guy running hundreds of properties, thousands of properties. But he has to do it because in business, people get promoted for working hard and being smart and doing their job and being able to be counted on. In D.C., they do it for being snakes. They get advanced for that. That's why it's not a swamp. It's a giant open-air sewer. And you know what they do to everybody who's in U.S. intelligence or who's in the corporate world in D.C.? They call up and they threaten you. They threaten your wife. And they hack into your computers and they find out what investments you have. And they start threatening your children at school. I'm not in the government, and I've had this stuff go on. And they have been harassing thousands and thousands of people hardcore. And most people go, whoa, I'll be a double agent. I'll claim I'm for Trump by day, but I'll work against Trump by night. But the longer Trump stays in, almost 3 years now, they're out of gas. They're tired. They know they've committed crimes. They know there's grand juries open out there. They know that they're under scrutiny. They know that the actual people that work and defend the country are on Trump's side. And they see that hourglass almost empty and no time's up. That's why the left, oh, don't regulate big tech because they were running it. Now that Trump's about to move in on it, oh, yeah, we want to regulate. They want to get their hands in there to use it to prohibit our speech, not have laws that say don't prohibit. The First Amendment protects rights, doesn't take them. And if we don't have regulations against the censorship and against the combines and against the cartels, then the Chinese communist and the globalist EU and others will come in via the vacuum. And that's what Ted Cruz, the president, now say. We've already got Europe regulating our internet. We built it. We're not going to let them. Yes, I know how to talk to these people. And I will tell you, we spearheaded the common sense to D.C. You sit there and take Google's money. In a couple of years, it'll be pure Chi-Com. The money will even be cut off. So even if you only care about the money, you better take control of these to keep the money flow going, dumbass. And I'm not calling Ted Cruz a dumbass or the president, but I'm talking about the average person in Congress is a lowly bootlicking follower who was put into power because they climbed up the ranks of ass-kissing, like dung beetles, rolling piles of crap around. I am affecting the world from the grassroots, building a whole new system like we did with the Republic. This is Renaissance Radio. This is the next level. This is the pro-human future. Next year's news today, Infowars.com. Now, we got something very interesting coming up. I'm not even going to tell you until we land this very interesting fish in the boat. We'll see if that happens on the other side. More coming straight ahead. Stay with us.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Baby, I'm going to teach you what love's all about tonight. Honey, everything's gonna be all right. Just do like I do. There ain't nothing to it. Listen to me, baby, and what I can do. All you gotta do is just
let yourself go. Well, Jessica Yanni is a transgender woman and is powerful LGBTQ 2SIA plus activist. She currently ran for Miss BC and plans to run again 2020. Lives in Canada. She believes strongly in human rights and equality. She also is a well-known tech blogger and is on her 10th year running TrustedNerd.com. And so it's good to have you on with us. I know you're scheduled for you to be on the War Room with Owen Schroyer today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and I mean, you're all over the news, what your main mission is.
Yeah, so my main mission is essentially human rights and LGBTQ equality. like, I am a transgender woman, and I was really seeking gender-affirming care services when it was so what things like when it comes to waxing, facials, pedicures, manicures, head massage, the whole nine yards. And I was pretty distraught to see the level of discrimination that is out there when it comes to people in the LGBTQ trying to receive gender-affirming care services. It's horrible. And I did not feel right to just let this go. You know, when these providers are willing to do services on someone who is a male, and not a transgender, but an actual male, but they're unwilling to do it on a transgender woman, or even a transgender male, that just, I don't understand that.
Okay, can I bring, because I've seen articles in the UK where the National Health Service, where a nurse doesn't want to do a pap smear on a person calling themselves a transgender. I mean, I'm a libertarian. Yeah. Somebody wants to say they're a woman, whatever. But what about when there's not a cervix? That's like saying, you know, give me a root canal, but I don't have any teeth.
Yeah, it's different. It's different when it comes to things like gynecology, like myself. It's a little bit embarrassing, but I do have a gynecologist. I have been checked. But when it comes to people that do not exactly need that service, for example, cervical exams on rather a biological man that doesn't need that, then yeah, that I totally understand. The refusal of service when it comes to health, like a female doesn't need, like a biological female doesn't need to go in and get a prostate exam unless she's intersex and or has some sort of abnormality happening there.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think all this transgenderism is so hot? Why is it just everywhere? Every children's show, every TV program, it's just everywhere. It's everywhere.
I think it's because we live in a new day and age now. You know, things are not the way they used to be in the early 1990s. People are starting to really reaffirm their gender identity and come out as different genders, different gender expression, like gender queer, gender fluid, gender non-conforming, non-binary. You never heard of those terms about five plus years ago. You never heard about this. But now, as things become more open and more socialized, I think I'd say that's when you start to hear more and more and more of these cases happening.
Sure. Let me raise this to you. I played football. I wasn't that good at it, but I played football. I was good enough when I was a freshman to be put on the varsity team and get run over and then quit the next year. I couldn't handle it. Yes. But I was good enough to get hurt real bad every game. But I'm a tough guy, but it was still weird to pull my clothes off and, you know, and get naked around guys, and the coaches would walk through, and once a year they'd come in and do a test to make sure I didn't have a hernia, and, you know, the coach would stick his finger, you know, where, or the doctor would, and I didn't like that. And my daughters are even more squeamish and stuff. And, you know, I have three daughters, and sometimes I walk by their room and one of them's, you know, half naked and they freak out, oh, dad, and slam the door. But yeah. Like Chris Cuomo said a few years ago, he said like 12-year-old girls should be ready to have a transgender man as a woman in the shower. And if they see his genitals, they shouldn't get upset. I don't think that's reasonable.
I do, actually, because, you know, people want to start segregating segregating sex. And from what I've seen,
I don't think the average women particularly want to be around a bunch of around a bunch of schlongs.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I do agree where I do agree where you're getting at here. I do agree. But I do agree that everyone has equal rights when it comes to this. And, you know, if someone wants to transition and be a part of that. Of that sex or gender, then they should have the ability to do so without being subjected.
Oh, I want to be clear. I don't hate anybody who wants to do anything they want with their body. But at the same time, I don't want to have to pay for it.
That's where, yeah, I see where you're getting at. You know, there are organizations in British Columbia where I reside that the government here does pay for gender confirmation surgery. They do pay like the medical services plan here does pay for sex reassignment surgery and breast augmentation.
I don't think they should pay for breast augmentation for a woman, a man, a trans. I don't think we should pay for a nose job.
I know. It's, you know, the way the government thinks here in regards to which people should receive which, I do have some agreement. I do have some disagreement. I have some very strong disagreements. And for example, I did write to our medical services plan, which we call MSP here, because what I found is that they will fund breast or what they call chicken cutlets. They will fund basically breast mastectomy plants, the stick-on or the ones that go inside of a bra for mastectomy patients. But when it comes to someone that wants to wants to switch genders and doesn't have a full-size breast, they won't cover that unless.
Well, I mean, I think if people, it should be covered if a woman has her breast removed from cancer if she wants to have that fixed. But 100%. But because they didn't ask for the cancer. But let me ask you this question: the latest controversy I saw was on Newswars.com and Summit.News. Trans activist organizes topless swimming session for girls as young as 12. Parents not allowed to be present. Is that an accurate headline?
That is. Not exactly. Not exactly. I'm gonna explain what exactly is going on with this event. So there was an event that was planned in the city of Langley that was unfortunately shut down by anti-LGBTQ activists. And I was pretty distraught when I saw this. You know, everyone has the right to have their own event. You know, being topless is legal in Canada. The actual event organizers are the ones that came up with this event, that being the Langley Youth Resource Hub, to my recollection, because they're the ones that are being asked to call them for info. And essentially with this, the event proposed that people would be able to be topless from age 12 to 24. It's all up to their discretion and what they want. And as you can see, that's the original event on.
Well, sure. But what happens if an older person identifies as a 12-year-old? You know, we have that too, right?
That's true. You know, We cannot be going around and policing gender or policing people by their age. If someone says they are a 12-year-old,
what if they say they're blind and dumb Drano in their eyes? Though, should we pay for that?
I'm sorry.
What about let's talk about transabled? But I want to, like, I appreciate you coming on. I mean, most folks that we argue with will not actually come on. This is amazing show, and I also want to see if you want to go out on a date. So yeah. See how that goes. Well, they're right back, folks. Stay with us, lovely lady. Jessica Yanov is a transgender from Canada. And we only got this segment, maybe one more, so we got to move quickly here. I want to break this down. We have photos here in articles with you, you know, at these events, or what are these events where you're in bathrooms? And I've got some of the tweets here and some of the things that you say here. What is this activism? What are you doing here?
Yeah, all of those tweets, except for that middle one over there and the one on the right, are all fake, essentially. So,
well, that's why I appreciate you coming on, because, you know, you're quite the sensation online. This way you get to actually say something.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out who did this. I am presuming that this is an anti-LGBTQ activist. I kind of have my suspicions on who it is, but I'm not going to say exactly who, because I can't. But no, I didn't write any of that.
What did you mean earlier by you can't discriminate by age? What does that mean?
Well, what I mean by that is, like, I'm going to give an example. Last night, my mom tried to book me for a facial. And what happened with that is the person on the other side then asked her, how old is your transgender daughter? To which she replied, 32. And then both of us were refused service, not only on several protected grounds, actually, and this is going to go before the tribunal, but essentially on family status, gender identity expression, sex, and what's the, and also age as well. So,
well, I'm just asking a question. If you're a woman, because I'm not big into, I might have had one pedicure, one manicure in my life, and I've been on a cruise before with my ex-wife, and they said, yep, hey, you want his and hers facials, and they did this facial, put cream on my face, and did all this. I mean, they weren't asking man or woman, they just said, you want a facial. So how does this, I don't even get how they're, like you're on the line, I'm a transgender, I'm getting a facial, and they're like, no, I mean, what?
Exactly. The problem that we have where I reside is there's quite racialized cultural groups here that do not believe in transgenderism, and they believe that they have the right to review service on any basis that they want, including
let me guess, because most of the, I mean, like I'd say 70% of the nails and facial stuff is it Vietnamese or Asians?
It's kind of a mix. It's like the way I explained it to the tribunal is when you deal with things like waxing, it's usually Vietnamese or East Indian, or Taiwanese.
In their culture, they're not, or any culture, you're not supposed to touch anybody's. If you're a woman, you're not supposed to touch another man's a penis unless it's your husband.
I know, but since when do we have a penis on our forehead?
So I don't understand that. Why would we want to make a woman? I'm just asking, why we want to make a woman, if it's her religious or cultural thing, that maybe she's has been with one man in her life. I mean, most, even wild women I've known, you know, right away aren't just ready to jump in the sack. Well, then how do you think a woman is ready to touch your, I just don't get that.
But you see, here's the thing. If we start refusing people, if we start refusing people for things such as facials, just because we claim religion, then we run into a very, very, very dangerous precedent.
Wait, you're saying facials. The case I saw was you wanted a bikini wax on your testicles, correct?
And I also wanted an arm wax, too, and I got refused service because the respondents claimed that they're Sikh and that their husband will not allow them to do service on a biological man. You see, this is...
Listen,
this is,
I don't want my wife touching other men's genitals.
No, not about the genitals.
What if my wife did bikini waxes?
Yeah.
Okay. And what if she did that? And then a dude, you know, a man comes in who says he's a woman, and then he wants my wife to polish his Johnson.
And you know, in this day and age, with the BC Human Rights Code and the Canadian Human Rights Code, if someone identifies as a woman, they have to receive those gender affirming care services. That's the law.
You know, I don't think this is going to work out well because here's my deal. I don't mind and I don't hate somebody if they are a man who feel like they're a woman and their brain might be feminine or something and there's genetics in it or whatever. There's some evidence that's going on. I don't hate anybody. But when they try to make other people comport to what they want, like almost all the sprinting, almost all the powerlifting from Australia to the U.S. to Canada is being won by biological men who have twice the size bones, twice the muscle on average. They even have their genitals, so they have testosterone. Well, biological men are going to win every competition in the world now, rendering women's sports obsolete. Whether it's basketball or football or hockey, it'll be all biological men, nice pretty hair, nice fingernails, but it'll be biological men and women will be obsolete in sports. Is that inclusive?
No. And that's actually where I agree with you. When it comes to things such as sporting competitions and such, and I had quite a discussion about this with a good friend of mine named Lynn. Especially in regards to the article you just pulled up. I don't agree with transgender identifying individuals going into sports and winning competitions when they still have a heavy, heavy, heavy level of testosterone. And I'm going to give you an example here. Before I transitioned, I had quite a high testosterone level. And then I started hormone replacement therapy. And when you start hormone replacement therapy, those pills essentially essentially eliminate your testosterone. Like what I had as was a level of 14, I now have a level of 1.2, for example, on my testosterone. So what I do believe is that these individuals can compete if their testosterone levels are below a certain number, that being like below 4 or below.
Well, the hell.
I don't agree with transgender females pumping themselves up with testosterone to even get above what a biological male would, because that gets into risky territory. I've heard of cases where people are breaking necks, breaking bones, breaking everything.
Sure. Well, sir, I'll say this. Humans change their environment. We build our own structures. We change ourselves. That's a human trait. But the whole trans movement, beyond changing sex, is getting us ready for brain chips, Elon Musk, merging with computers, and it's being pushed. And so the whole eugenics movement is using the trans movement as kind of a way to open the door. But let's get into this, and I appreciate you joining us. What about some of these other articles? I mean, describe to me, where are you? You say you're in a bathroom, or is that fake too? Where you're taking photos of women or young women inside bathrooms?
That photo that you actually referred to was taken literally like the day that I switched my gender to legally the female. I was stupid and I shared that on a group. I actually shared it on a group that I kind of knew I would get attacked, but I did it anyway because I was stupid. What essentially happened with that is what you see there. If people took it and it was something like called the rant room, if I remember correctly.
Hey, so did you tweet this right here?
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
But you did take the photos.
Why would I? That's the thing.
Okay, well, I'm sure you're familiar. Are you familiar with the work I do?
I am.
So why did you decide to come on here? Because let me tell you, nobody on the left or whatever you want to call it will come on here. Yeah. They come on Tucker's show, and you know, I just want to hear what people have to say.
Because, you know, I'm not ashamed of who I am, and that's why I watch your show, and that's why I thought, you know what, I'm going to come on the show, because there's a lot of issues here. There's a lot of serious issues that come in play. And the most serious issue, and the reason for all these complaints is this is not about waxing. This is not essentially about gender-affirming care. This is about the ability for someone to refuse service because to anyone that they want because of what they want, even if that person belongs to a protected class. For example, if you have a cop that walks into a donut shop and the donut shop owner says, "No, I don't want to serve you because you're a cop." That would technically be
sure. That's wrong, but it's not. It's not. If the cop walked in and said, "Wax my male genitals," I'm a woman. That would be a little different.
But okay, let me ask you this: what's your perspective on being rejected for an arm wax? Like literally something that is sticking out there. Everyone sees it. It's not hidden in your pants. What's your
But if the Vietnamese women have had one man they've been with, I mean, women, even if a woman's a slut, she doesn't just randomly want guys to pull their ding-dong out. They want to be involved. They want to be in charge. They want to be in control. It's a power thing. To make a woman shave your testicles and wax your ding-dong is abusive in my view. Come back and let me get your take on that.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Jessica Yanov is a transgender, male to female, and he's coming on the show, so I'm being nice here. But we've got an esthetician here that's also trained to be a producer, doing a great job, Becca, and she was explaining that what you're trained to do. She says she's done, you know, waxing of men. Men get that. It's totally different. You got to be trained. That's a whole other issue. She's going to pop in a moment. But what about these articles that say you're just a predator that wants to get around young girls? What about exclusive 15-year-old alleged victim of you supposedly speaks out. It's a big article out of the Post-Millennial. You know, you're going to these courts. You're saying these people are abusing you, not waxing you, but other people are stepping forward saying that, hey, you know, we're being harassed by this person. What's your take on that?
One thing I want to say about the Post-Millennial is it's to my understanding that the counsel, the owner of the law firm that is counsel to the respondents owns the Post-Millennial.com. They have published defamatory articles about me day in and day out. But I really want to get to something important here because I do believe that this is important. You know, going back to the refusal of service, you know, they're essentially saying that, you know, we won't do service on a man or a transgender. But transgender also means female to male. I have a friend, his name is Taylor, and he's female to male. So what's essentially happening here is they are also refusing service on transgender males, that being ones that also have 100%.
Well, let me raise this. You have record levels of autism and record levels of suicide and mental illness in transgendered. A lot of people don't want to deal with a mental health issue.
What do you mean?
Well, you're actually well-spoken and holding your own, but I mean, a lot of times you see a crazy transgender bank robber the statistics are there that there are a lot of autistic people and stuff that end up getting tricked when they're young to being quote other sex. Let's bring in Becca, who is a skin expert. That's what an esthetician. She wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Hey, Jessica. Nice to meet you.
Hey.
Hi. So working as an esthetician for 10 years and actually worked in San Francisco, so I had a lot of male clientele, gay people, straight people, transgender. I've done it all. And I know I was actually pretty rare in the industry. There's not a lot of people that do that type of service. I'm just wondering if it's an actual discrimination issue or if you just encountered someone who was not trained in that service. I mean, it is quite different. There's a lot of different training involved. Had you considered that?
Well, I've approached 16 different places asking for waxing, and every single one of them refused service. Now, I do want to state, like, I do have an expert witness joining me for my hearing on the 26th. That is an uncontested hearing that's clumped with three people.
But hold on. We got to have you back on. You're on the War Room today. I think Becca should go on with Owen Schroer to keep this discussion going. Jessica, let me just say this. Isn't it a first world problem that you're having to sue over women won't wax your tallywhacker?
There's one really important fact here that I want to bring up, and I want Becca to affirm this, that a Brazilian is not gender gender assigned, meaning it's not implicitly female. As
Jessica, would you wax my butt?
What a Brazilian wax means, what a Brazilian wax is, it is a wax from the belly button down to the anus. And it's removing
hair. I can't do this anymore. Hold on. You're going to be on the War Room, right? You agree to come on with Owen Schroer. You're coming up in a couple hours on there, right?
I'm sorry?
You're going to be on Owen Schroer show.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Becca, you want to come on with him so you can finish up today?
I would love to. Yes, right,
she's on to be on with Owen Schroer. What time are you on?
I believe 2:30 my time.
Okay, so that's like 4:30 today. This is going to continue. Yeah. Infowars.com/show. Lord Monckton's coming up. Thank you, Becca. And well, joining us is Lord Christopher Monckton, and without him, we would definitely have a global carbon tax. What would be the heart of a world government surveillance, control, and taxation system with courts empowered to shut down businesses, you name it. Well, there's been some huge scientific studies that have come out in the last month that have gotten almost no attention. I've seen four of them. And Lord Mott is going to be in D.C. for a critical meeting. He takes off tomorrow. He's going to be there Friday. We're going to be talking to him then. We're going to be getting the latest throughout the weekend. But I really appreciate him coming on to give us an update on the latest, because if it wasn't for Lord Monckton and if it wasn't for some of the other folks that are out there, we would be up the creek without a paddle. And his best website is whatsupwiththat.com. So, Lord Christopher Monckton, thank you for helping us not already be in a new dark age.
Well, Alex, it's wonderful to be with you again. And yes, I will be in Washington, D.C. at the Trump International Hotel. I arrive there tomorrow and I speak there at the lunchtime keynote speech at the 13th Heartland International Climate Conference. And this is a great gathering of the clans, all the gallant climate scientists who have put up with the vilification of the hard left over the years and have continued quietly to do their research. They'll all be there. So if you haven't booked yet, then get onto heartland.org and make sure you make a last-minute booking and get yourself to the Trump International Hotel, Washington, D.C. The conference starts at 8 in the morning on Thursday the 25th and runs all day. And I'll be speaking at lunchtime. I've got the half-hour lunchtime slot. And what I'll be doing, Alex, is explaining to the eminent climate scientists and researchers who are there that a team of 10 scientists led by me, including three professors, has identified and can now prove that the climate scientists made a mistake 40 years ago. It was actually a communist at NASA who made the mistake. We've tracked it down who it was and how he did it. And that mistake means that they have multiplied all their mid-range best estimates of how much global warming we might cause by three. So if you correct for the error, the global warming problem disappears. And in my half-hour talk tomorrow, I'm going to be explaining just enough about what we've found so that any scientist looking at it can go and check with his colleagues and say, are these people right or aren't they? And the answer is going to be, well, we certainly can't rule it out. We think we're very close now to bringing this whole climate scare finally to an unrelenting
Well, that's very exciting, but I want to get the 35,000-foot view as well. I also saw articles out of NASA the last year where they went, actually, carbon dioxide is helping plants grow. And actually, the temperature looks like it's actually not just stopped, it's slowing. I mean, I suddenly see NASA basically agreeing with all the mainline scientists.
This is a very interesting development. For some time, NASA satellites have been showing, and you've got the slide up there now, that the Earth is greening. And this is called the net primary productivity of plants, which is a long phrase for the total mass, the total biomass of all the trees and plants on Earth. Notwithstanding all you hear about deforestation and land clearance and so on, there is actually more green stuff, about 15 to 30% more, depending on which research paper.
When I used to come to Austin to visit my grandmother, it looked like a desert. It looks like the Brazil now.
Well, this, of course, is the wonderful thing. What is happening is that the CO2 in the atmosphere was too little to be good for plants. And now they're beginning to be able to breathe more easily. And this has two effects. You've got some very good illustrations there on the screen. It has two effects. The first thing it does is that it fertilizes the plant. CO2 is plant food. You won't hear this from Greenpeace and all the communist extremists, but CO2 is plant food. The carbon in the tree trunks, for instance, doesn't come from the ground. It comes from the CO2 in the air. And there was almost not enough of it there. So the fact that we've now pushed up the concentration of CO2 by about 40% over the last 100 years, plants and trees are absolutely loving this because that's what makes them.
And that's how the Lord works in mysterious ways. Talk about this. They've studied Mars. It probably lost its atmosphere and its oceans because it couldn't hold them in. And we would have gotten in that position. I mean, we're at one of the lowest points of CO2 in history, correct? Until this little bump. This was a godsend.
That's quite right. It had been declining for 4 million years. And had it gone on for another couple of million years, at its present rate of decline, all trees and plants on Earth would have died. We have now, by putting 40% more CO2 back into the atmosphere from which it originally came, and when it was there, the planet didn't fry. Now all the plants are thanking us for that.
And that's key. It was stored in the crust. We now bring it back up and reboot the planet. That's got to be God.
Well, it is certainly carrying out God's work, let's say. We are restoring what nature had begun to take away, and we're making it possible for life to continue and flourish much more luxuriantly on Earth than it could otherwise have done. And you're quite right. I mean, we just take the Sahara, for instance. As far back as 1981, Nicholson et al., a team of scientists, reported that 300,000 square kilometers of what had been sandy desert had been turned green by the extra water vapor in the air, which you get if the air gets a little bit warmer worldwide. This extra water vapor helps the plants. And likewise, when there's more CO2 in the air, the stomata, which are the little mouths on the underside of the leaves, which allow the plants to breathe in the CO2, but they also lose water through those stomata, they don't need so many of them. And the plants are already adapting by growing fewer stomata because there's now more CO2. That means they lose less of the water they do get when it rains. And that means you get a double effect of preserving plants and trees in areas where it was only 40 years ago far too arid for them to survive.
And that's so critical. That means in drought areas, higher CO2, and I've seen the studies, it was like some plants can have half as much water, I was reading, as long as CO2's a little bit higher and they don't die.
If we could double the CO2 in the air, drought virtually worldwide would cease to be a problem. It's already declining quite sharply. I mean, the Palmer Drought Severity Index, which measures the overall severity of droughts around the world, hasn't changed in 100 years. But what has changed in the last 40 years is that the area of land under drought has declined. There's less and less drought happening. And the reason for this is the CO2 in the air.
Well, sure. So when I said God, I meant God's master plan, Lord Monckton, looking back on this, how carbon is stored, from all of the alluvial things that have been deposited by the plants and animals and life that's died, the producing crude oil. We then discover it 150 years ago, pump it up, put it out right at a time that we're starved for this critical, one-fourth of the life cycle on the planet and the carbon cycle, water, what sunlight, carbon dioxide, oxygen. And then now we're terraforming the planet back to a better place. And as you said, it's mainstream news that the Sahara is now being reclaimed by greenage.
That's exactly it. Very large areas of the Sahel, which is the southern Sahara, really dry, one of the poorest places on Earth because it was so dry, is now beginning, as it was 7,000 years ago, until about 7,000 years ago when the Nile dried up. That was one of the most luxuriant places on the planet. Now look at it. So we're now putting back the CO2. We're therefore putting back the plants and trees in areas where they never have been before, and they're self-seeding. We're not actually going out into the Sahel and planting them. They're finding their own way there, just as they have countless, countless times before throughout the long and ancient history of this planet. And what people are beginning to realize, even NASA is beginning to wake up to the fact that if you go on and on and on beating this global warming drum, you're missing the most important half of the story, which is that CO2 is actually good for us, it's good for plants, it's good for all life on Earth, and we want more of it and not less of it. Professor Will Happer at Princeton has been making this point for a couple of decades. He, as you know, is the man who is advising President Trump on climate change strategy, and he is saying to him, you do not need to take any measures whatsoever to restrict the amount of CO2 going into the air. Indeed, not only do you not need to do that, you should not do that, because the extra CO2 is good for everyone. Well,
it's God works in a mysterious way. Stay there, Lord Monckton. I mean, the Earth is starving for CO2, then we discover giant underground sources and terraform.
You're listening to The Antidote for Fake News. It's Alex Jones.
Well, it's raining, folks, from the UK here. Paul Joseph Watson comes up in the next two segments into the fourth hour today. Lord Christopher Monckton's our guest. And he's in D.C. tomorrow giving a speech at Trump Hotel. I wish I could go. I've got family stuff I got to take care of and some things here. But I'd love to fly him down, invite him down to come out to Austin, co-host with us here in the next few days. But just pulling back from this, you're always a scientist. You were Margaret Thatcher's chief advisor on science. Some said her chief advisor total. I mean, you've been around a long time. You're a famous inventor. You're a successful businessman. You parachuted into climate accords in Durban, South Africa, when they were censoring you. You've been beaten up in, you know, Paris at climate accords. I mean, the left's really trying to shut you down. But you keep arguing with them about science. Obviously, climate changes. Obviously, things are going on. They want control of all human activity. They want to make industry evil so they can tax and control it. And the world's woken up to this because China, India, nobody else will sign on to it. But what is the current state of their scams? What is the current state of their power grab? Because you can keep stating all these studies, you know, showing all their claims are a fraud. I think the world knows it's a fraud, and we should go after them for the fact that they have developed a fraud and that they're trying to outlaw people questioning them.
Let me pick up on this word fraud, because that, Alex, is exactly what it has become. I mean, what happened when we first submitted our paper explaining this huge error right at the heart of climate science to a leading journal? I won't say which one, so as to spare its blushes, and it looks as though the police are going to have to be called in to start investigating some of this. The first thing that it was, they said, we can't find anyone competent to review this paper. Well, that was nonsense. So we said, come off it. It's your job to find people competent to review the paper. And if not, we can supply plenty of names on both sides of this debate who would be competent to review this paper. So they gave up on that one. And then they sent it out for review. And after 6 months, they had got precisely two reviews, Alex. One of them said this: I do not like the conclusion that this paper comes to. Therefore, I have not read the paper and I have not read the equations justifying the conclusion.
Incredible.
And that was supposed to be a scientific peer review. The other one said, I have not reviewed the main paper at all. I have read an ancillary paper with an experiment where we had demonstrated how this works by building a test rig. And he said, oh, the experiment wasn't done right. Well, it was, because it was done by one of our national laboratories. So we wrote to the editor and said, look, this isn't good enough. We want to appeal against this. So he said, okay, you can send the paper back to me for review. So we spent another few months trying to see if we could stiffen it up to stop this kind of thing happening. We sent it to him again and got no reply. We sent it to him another time and we got no reply.
Sure, they have that hoax that there's total 100% consensus that we're all going to die. AOC says the Earth's ending in 12 years. It's just insane.
All of this is nonsense. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she is, of course, a former barkeep and is therefore no expert on the climate or anything else much. And the new slogan, which I understand that the Republicans are adopting, is Make Alexandria Bartend Again, because her Green New Deal is heroically absurd. And as you were saying earlier, Alex, this is indeed about concentrating all power over every tiny aspect of every person's life in the hands of the far left. Where did they get this idea? They got it from a particular division of the European far left called the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, the Nazi Party. If you ever read Mein Kampf, which is a deeply unpleasant
experience. That's why he loved IBM, because Hollerith and the machines could track every human activity. The Nazis wanted to do that.
All of that. But the other thing that they wanted to do was to invent an environmental policy. They were the first. And they didn't want to do it because the environment was at risk. After all, it's been around for 4.5 billion years.
No, you're right. Hitler said to control populations, we've got to control the environment.
They wanted to control people. And Hitler actually says so explicitly in Mein Kampf. The idea was then picked up by the Russians. They then began, particularly when the Berlin Wall came down and they still wanted to influence the West, they began funding the anti-fracking groups in Britain, for instance, because Putin is trying to sell gas from Siberia, which is his only major source of income from overseas. That's what Putin is making his fortune out of. And they want to be able to go on selling gas to the European Union, whose commissars they control effectively, so that the commissars make sure that most countries in the European Union are obliged.
Sure, I agree with you. Lord Monckton, we're out of time. I want to invite you back on for a full hour soon, just briefly. You got to come on again about the geopolitics, about Trump, about where all this is going. Just how would you in 60 seconds break down the makeup of what's happening in the world right now? A revolution by populists and nationalists against globalists?
Well, that's exactly what's happened with Trump. It's now happened here in the UK today because Boris Johnson has, thank goodness, become our prime minister at last. He nearly did 3 years ago. We wish he had. He is now our prime minister, thank heavens. And he is going to fight the globalists in the EU, just as Mr. Trump is fighting the globalists at the UN.
So he's going to do what May didn't do.
I'm sorry?
He's going to do what May didn't do.
He's very determined to make sure that we leave the European Union. Parliament is very determined to stop him. But the people voted for Brexit, and he is going to do his level best to make sure that what the people voted for, they actually get, whether Parliament likes it or not. And if Parliament stands in his way, this is going to be a metaphor for the rest of the world fighting this ghastly socialistic, sure, communistic, totalitarian blob. We're going to go and get them. We're going to defeat them, and we are going to leave the EU, and other countries will very swiftly follow.
Beautiful. Well, please come back on as soon as you can, and Godspeed with the speech tomorrow. The invitation to fly to Austin is open. Thank you, Lord Christopher Monckton. And again, the best website's whatsupwiththat.com. Thank you.
Bless you.
All right. I forgot to plug last hour, ladies and gentlemen, and if we don't plug, we're not going to be here. We have a new giant special going, 50% off DNA Force Plus, and we also have 50% off the great Tri-Iodine X3 and the great X2 that just is about to come back into stock. So doesn't get here till next week, but I'm still taking orders and saying it's there. It ended up selling out. And we've got a lot of other specials as well, but take advantage of that. And all InfoWars Life storable foods that are just My Patriot Supply private labeled, so that we're able to get around some of the rules they have with distributors to give you even more off than anybody else. High quality storable foods, highest quality, last 25 years. That's all 50% off as well. And we have back in stock the vanilla, coconut, and chocolate peanut butter. No fillers, no additives. They're like toffee. They're so pure. They're so big. At half the price you get at Whole Foods, these are amazing protein bars. At InfoWarsLife.com, they are back in stock, the two different types of those. And when you just buy the coffee, buy the toothpaste, buy the fish oil, buy the things you need already, it funds this operation, the Face the Globalists, and I salute you all and thank you for that. I've got a lot of big stuff cooking, and that's why we got some projects that need money to fund. You've seen what we've done to the globalists. Bet on InfoWars again, my friends. You'll see stuff you can't even imagine. We can't tell you about it until it's history, though. Execute operations.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Well, we had Jessica Yanivi, or however you say it, on earlier. She's going to be back on the War Room today, and that should be interesting. We got into a lot of it. We kind of dodged the question. She dodged the question about why are you trying to organize 12-year-olds to meet topless at a pool, but parents shouldn't be there. Sounds like pedophilia. I mean, I brought that up. He dodged it. But we'll see on the War Room today coming up. But for the next hour and 27 minutes or so, Paul Joseph Watson, who identifies as a Northern England Sheffield patriot, is going to be hosting the broadcast. And I appreciate that because I've got a lot of fish in the grease. I got a lot of irons in the fire. I got a lot of stuff going on that I can't tell you about until it's done. But for everything you see InfoWars do, that's only the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the spear. And your funding of our operation is the tip of the spear. So I just want to briefly tell you about this because, I put this write-up together just a few days ago because I want to rebrand things. Not just say, buy our products because, you know, you need to support us. Buy our products because when we didn't have iodine in our food, the IQs dropped 15 points. The government added it for a while. They went up 15 points. Now they've taken it out. And guess what? They've gone down even more than that. And here are all the mainstream news articles breaking it down. So we have X3. That's the deep earth crystal, pure iodine, and the two other types to help it absorb. And we have the X2. It's 50% off, even though it's the best seller, because I want you to get it. And it's not just a gimmick. It's like, hey, Trump's going to get elected. Nationalists are going to get elected everywhere. We're going to take on the New World Order. We're going to turn the tide. Jerry Epstein's a giant, you know, child pornographer controller, blackmailing people for Mossad and criminal elements of the CIA. It's all coming out. I told you the White House was being illegally spied on and how it was happening. Now it's mainstream news. Now the indictments are being announced. So, that's what I'm saying is, I don't tell you that iodine is a game changer and is amazing and that you can't find real iodine almost anywhere. That's not made up. That's the truth. Infowarsstore.com, InfowarsLife.com, and then we get the funding to wreck the globalist future. We've already devastated the enemy, but they're striking back. We need to secure a pro-human future, and we're doing it together. InfowarsLife.com, InfowarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. Even if you don't get iodine from us, please, please, the globalists are obsessed with putting bad halogens in to block the good iodine, the fluoride, the chlorine, the bromide, the bromine. Please learn about X2 and X3. They're both apples and oranges. Just look at it. Learn about it. Some other big specials. 50% off. It's been sold out for a while. Big shipment came in. DNA Force Plus. The Rolls Royce. The Ferrari of telomere protection and of mitochondrial protection and of just overall kick-assedness. InfoWarsStore.com. It's the house you built. It's the house under attack. It's the house that must be secured for the next attack. Paul Joseph Watson takes over for the next hour and 23 minutes and 7 seconds.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, I'm continuing to talk about Jessica Yaniv, obviously you just had on the show earlier, because lo and behold, some new information.
The succulent goblin, as he's known?
Well, she, Alex. Let's be careful, because she, let's respect those pronouns, because these people are in control of the world now. She has already got two people banned on Twitter for not referring to her as a she. So that's what I'm going to do, because, again, this is clown world and these people run it now. New information has come out about alleged chat conversations on Facebook between Jessica Yaniv and a then 14-year-old girl who was about to turn 15, sexually suggestive conversations on Facebook. Imagine my shock, because we didn't see this coming all along, did we? And just as she denied being behind those tweets during the interview, claiming they were fake, she is also claiming that this chat log is fake, despite the post-millennial who came out with this story asserting that it's completely true. Now, if they were going to create a bunch of fake posts, which basically characterize someone as a pedophile, that's going to be a gimme in terms of a lawsuit. So I don't know why they would want to create fake posts. So I'm going to go through that here in the next segment. But again, just to remind people of what this controversy is all about, headline up at summit.news, trans activist organizes topless swimming session for girls as young as 12, parents not allowed to be present. This individual is either one of the biggest predators on the internet or is one of the best trolls on the internet, because the history of this controversy stems, of course, from she, Jessica Yaniv, filing 15 complaints in British Columbia, Canada, 15 Human Rights Tribunal complaints against female beauticians for their refusal to wax her male genitalia. And it even prompted the British comedian and free speech advocate Ricky Gervais to wade into the debate yesterday when he tweeted this: how did we get to the point where women are having to fight for the right to choose whether they wax some big old hairy COCK and balls or not? Is it not a human right to have your meat and two veg polished? Because that's literally what's happening These beauticians are now being investigated for their refusal to perform a wax on the male genitalia of this self-professed.
But Paul, that's female. Like the National Health Service, where it said a 6'3" bearded man came in and demanded his cervix be pap smeared, and the nurse said, "You have male genitals," and she got in trouble.
Oh yeah, and of course we're paying for all that as well.
Oh, but it's conservatives that are harassing women. If we spread our legs a little on a subway, we're a rapist. But if a big old fat dude comes in and tells some poor woman to give him a pap smear, again, if you don't know anatomy, folks, a man doesn't have a cervix. That's the opening between the vagina and the uterus. Where is this going, Paul? It's all pedophilic. We know that.
Well, these people are now in charge of public discourse. This is where it's going. And this is the effect of it. You see here with the man-spreading chair. She actually designed another chair that encouraged women to do what she's complaining that the men are doing. Of course, we don't have a conversation about bag spreading, where women place their bags on seats on public transport, which I would argue happens way more than man-spreading. She was given an award and praised for her social justice activism for creating this hideous-looking chair, which is absolutely abominable. There you see the bag-spreading controversy on Twitter. That's not being addressed. But again, going back to this Jessica and Eve, taking photos of herself in female locker rooms, and then the comments below are, quote, if there's like 30 girls in change rooms, how many of them would you say are out there changing freely with their vaginas and boobs out? She denies making those comments, despite the fact there are literally dozens of them that are very similar. Dozens of tweets directed at children asking, how old are you? And these have been circulating for a while before this even came out over the weekend with the beauticians being investigated by the Human Rights Tribunal. So this has all been circulating for a while. Because you had Lindsay Shepherd, the free speech activist, banned on Twitter a few days ago after Yaniv basically started body shaming her and talking about intimate health problems.
You're going to talk about that when you come back, Paul, but let me ask you this question. Why do you think this individual is coming on my show and on the War Room and says that they're a listener? I think this is some damage control.
It's either damage control or it's the biggest troll you've ever seen, Alex, because obviously, Jessica and Eve was on an Irish radio show earlier today and apparently hung up when she was challenged. The fact that she would agree to go on your show raises a lot of alarm bells in my mind. But again, I'm going to get into this new angle on it after the break, which makes it even more disturbing from the angle of child grooming. And we're going to get into that.
All right. And you're welcome to come on the War Room when he joins us. I mean, she joins us. Do you want to bow to Jessica? Paul?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's her. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. Infowars.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
And we are live talking about Jessica Yaniv, who was on the show earlier. You've got to commend her for coming on the show and having, pun intended, the balls to speak up and defend her trans activism. The latest example of which involves organizing a swimming session for girls as young as 12, at which it specifically says their parents and guardians are not allowed to be present. A trans activist who gained notoriety for attempting to force beauticians to wax their balls and penis is now arranging a swimming session for girls as young as 12 where parents will not be allowed to be present. This is happening, or it was going to happen. I think the initial one was cancelled, and then she was trying to organize another one. At the Al Anderson Memorial Pool in Langley, British Columbia, Canada, the promotional material for the event states parents and or caregivers are not permitted in the event. Whether that's going to go forward or not remains to be seen, but this is Clown World, and Canada is the epicenter of Clown World, so nothing surprises me at this point. It takes a lot to shock me these days, but my word. So, the latest development is this story up on the postmillennial.com website. Exclusive. This came out literally an hour ago. 15-year-old alleged victim of Jessica Yaniv speaks out. Well, who didn't see this coming? Now, it's important to state from the outset that Jessica Yaniv denies this story and denies that she was behind the conversations mentioned in this article. Just as she denied that she was behind the tweets when Alex was interviewing her earlier. Very easy get-out clause, that, isn't it? Says a young woman has come forward with serious allegations of abuse against Jonathan Jessica Yaniv. Yaniv, a male-to-female transgender, has recently risen to infamy for the Human Rights Tribunal suits she's taken out against 16 estheticians for declining to perform waxing services on her male genitals. We talked about that earlier. But now 20-year-old Jessica Rumpel of Sammamish, Washington State, has disclosed details to the Post-Millennial of her encounters with Jessica Yaniv. Guess what her encounters were with Jessica Yaniv? Well, Rumpel was just 14 years old at the time of the interactions, just about to turn 15. And if you pull up this article, you can see the actual conversations. Again, denied by Jessica Yaniv, she is claiming that these are fake messages. The Post-Millennial asserts that they're very much real. They come from the official Trusted Nerd Facebook account of Jessica Yaniv. And I doubt they would so blasé just publish obviously fake messages and obviously put them at risk of a winnable, eminently winnable lawsuit for Jessica Yaniv. So as you see up on screen now, Jessica Yaniv says, "Lol, how old are you again?" The respondent, Jessica Rumpel, responds 14. Yaniv says, "I don't know if I should, lol, almost 15, I don't know," and it goes on from there. So this 14-year-old, 14 at the time, said, "At first I thought, you know, this guy seems to have some kind of mental issues of some sort, really, do you think?" She says, "I didn't think he was a predator at first, really." Well, he opens up by asking how old a child is and continues to talk to him on Facebook in a sexually suggestive manner, as we'll see in a moment. Yaniv made contact with Rumpel through social media site Ask.fm, where people, including those who are anonymous, can ask questions of users and receive answers in short form. Rumpel states that Yaniv sent her a series of disturbing questions while anonymous before adding her to the private messenger application Kik, K-I-K, which is known to law enforcement for its notoriously poor protection of children. Basically, the app of choice for paedophiles, just by coincidence. According to Rumpel, Yaniv allegedly presented himself as a young male in his late 20s and claims that he used pictures of himself when he was younger in their initial conversation. And in fact, elsewhere, other people are claiming that Jessica Yaniv contacted them during this same time period and claimed to be a 17-year-old boy. But the article continues, Rumpel states it was sympathy that caused her to continue contact with Yaniv initially. "He liked to make himself be the victim. He actually told me he had folliculitis," whatever that is, "and depression." And you see this over and over again with people like Twitch streamers, with YouTubers who get online, invent a mental illness that they've got, and ask for money and beg for attention. This is the new rampant narcissism fueled by social media. But according to this, the allegation is that Jessica Yaniv used it basically to groom children, as we shall see. Pitying who she thought was an emotionally pained young man, Rumpel maintained some regular contact with Yaniv. She said, "I always wanted to be there for anyone who was suffering, anyone who needed someone to listen to them. Just like any other 15-year-old girl, she enjoyed having another friend to talk to. But the conversations often took an uncomfortable turn." So Yaniv obviously has some weird fetish obsession with female sanitary products. The alleged victim says Yaniv always told me he uses pads and wants to go into the ladies' bathroom. And as we saw with the tweets, that seems to be a constant obsession. But of course, they're fake too, apparently. Yaniv asked me how to go into the ladies' bathroom without being caught, and then how to be in the bathroom if there's a lot of women or girls. And as we saw before, there are selfies that this Jessica Yaniv individual has took in female changing rooms. So the conversation continues, and it's basically Jessica Yaniv asking if she, with male genitalia, of course, can get changed in front of young women and girls in a female locker room. According to Rumpel, the alleged victim, Yaniv did not identify as transgender at any point during their interactions. Now, of course, if you look at the screenshots of that chat now, it shows Jessica Yaniv looking or presenting as a female, because, of course, that's what happens on Facebook, even though the conversation's old, several years old, in fact, I think 5 years old, the profile picture is still going to show up as the current profile picture, so that's why it does that. The victim continued, she believed Yaniv simply had a fetish for bathrooms, pads, and girls' clothing, as Yaniv would also begin sending Rumpel worrying messages, including photos of himself in girls' jeans, asking for comments and compliments from the then 15-year-old. So as you can see there, the Jessica Yaniv is sending pictures of herself in what she claims are women's jeans and asking if they look okay. Another absolutely bizarre example of this conversation. Eventually, and nobody saw this coming, Yaniv's attentions turned overtly sexual. Yaniv said, I'm so OMG, you know. The respondent, a 14-year-old girl, asked hungry question mark. Yaniv said it rhymes with that. And then the 14-year-old said tawny question mark. Then Yaniv said, why are you always so beautiful? The next conversation is the 14-year-old asking, did you also ask me if I had big boobs and big ass on anon? Yaniv admits the first thing, yes. So if that's true, and Yaniv says it isn't, but if it's true, it's Yaniv literally asking a 14-year-old if she has big boobs. Absolutely clown world disgusting. This is the person who is now in control of this discussion. This is the person who's already got two people banned on Twitter for daring to argue with them, as we shall see in the next segment. I don't even know how much of this I can read on air. Yaniv called me titty queen, even asked me to marry him, and I was only 15. He said he couldn't wait until I turned 16. Yaniv was born in 1987. He's currently 32. So at the time of these messages, he would have been 27. Of course, in other conversations, he's presenting as a 17-year-old boy. So it goes on. I can't wait till you turn 16, said Yaniv. But you're not 16, and that means I can't do anything with you as much as you want that. Am I right? So again, if true, that is directly grooming a child in a sexually suggestive manner. That is the allegation here. And it says, as has been revealed from previously exposed conversations, Yaniv often directed his comments towards menstrual stuffs, even going so far as to pester Rumpel to take photos of her using feminine hygiene products. Again, I'm just reading this before I actually read it on air to see if I can actually read it. There's another video there, which I didn't pull, but I've listened to it earlier. And it's basically Yaniv adopting this bizarre, high-pitched, childlike voice. What he or she called an Elmo voice, saying things such as, Elmo wants to F and Elmo loves P-U-S-S-Y. In the final clip, Yaniv is heard saying, I love you. Your boobies go up and down, up and down, up and down. And I've played that and it's disturbing. Rumpel explains that Yaniv had an Elmo character profile on Ask FM and used it to send her questions. Absolutely absurd clown level stuff. We'll be back in the next segment. I'll wrap this up. I'll talk about how Ricky Gervais waded into the debate too. So we'll be back. Don't go away.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are back live and we're still talking about Jessica Yaniv, the transgender activist, who is basically at the forefront of having 15 female beauticians investigated by the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal for refusing to wax her testicles. We went through this allegation of a Facebook conversation with a then 14-year-old girl who claimed, and these messages, if true, prove it. Again, it's being denied by Yaniv that the messages are true. But if they are, then it proves obvious child grooming. Of course, Yaniv was on the show earlier, denied all this, and will be on the show again, I believe, in the war room in the next hour. But this really got prominent over the past few days because the British comedian Ricky Gervais, who is a free speech advocate, waded into the debate. And there's actually a funny tweet, which I tweeted earlier, which was a Daily Caller article headlined, "Ricky Gervais doesn't think women should be forced to wax testicles." And then one of the responses below that tweet was from somebody who said, "The moment that Ricky Gervais became alt-right." That's right, because if you don't think women should be forced to wax men's testicles, that means you're a Nazi now. That's how much the Overton window has shifted in clown world. Newsbusters reports Ricky Gervais called transphobe for defending women refusing to wax trans woman's penis. Warning coarse language throughout. Again, I have to read this ahead of actually saying it. British comedian Ricky Gervais has been called transphobic over defending women refusing to wax trans women in Canada because they're uncomfortable dealing with their clients' very male genitalia. Gervais defended the spa workers, saying that it's, quote, real feminism for women to choose who to wax or not, but internet users aren't having it. On Sunday, Gervais weighed in on one of the most stupidly woke issues to crop up in recent memory in Canada, demonstrating himself as a celebrity that isn't completely devoid of common sense. He put out a controversial tweet which said, quote, "How did we get to the point where women are having to fight for the right to choose whether they wax some big old hairy cock and balls or not? Is it not a human right to have your meat and two veg polished?" And of course, he was immediately attacked. Twitter warriors clamored against Gervais's post, saying it's language like that that has threatened trans people and that it contributes to the larger hashtag war on women. Again, there are feminists, quite radical feminists, who are called transphobes, who are called TERFs, who have been excluded from public conversations, who have been banned from social media platforms for daring to suggest that men with their testicles hanging out shouldn't be allowed into female locker rooms. One respondent said, this was LGBTQ activist Amy Martin, quote, "Ricky Gervais is a transphobe who barely disguises his bigotry as feminism. Real feminism includes all women, including trans women." So they're literally defending a man who wants to force women to shave his testicles. That's feminism in 2019 in clown world. Gervais replied, "Surely real feminism also covers a woman's right not to have to wax someone's knob and bollocks if they don't want to." And it went on from there. Again, we've got these new messages now that post-millennials posted, which seem to indicate that this is part of a child grooming operation. Yaniv denies those messages. And as Alex was saying in the last segment, could this be one giant troll? I mean, this is obviously coming from the mind of a very sick individual either way. But why is this individual going on radio shows that are overtly antagonistic to this whole thing, as happened earlier? And Yaniv also went on an Irish radio show. We're going to play that clip after the break. But again, Lindsay Shepherd, free speech activist, was banned on Twitter, appealed the ban for basically responding to Yaniv insulting her, body shaming her for a very private personal health problem related to sexual reproduction organs. She responded by saying basically, well, at least I have a uterus, banned, gone forever. No court of appeal for Twitter, of course. These are the people who control public discourse. This is true. Clown World, we'll be back. This is the Alex Jones Show live. Don't go away, Infowars.com.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
I'm going to wrap this up in this segment because we've been talking about this subject literally for the best part of 2 hours. But the trans activist who is demanding that women shave her male genitalia appeared on an Irish radio show, and the host made the point that far from just respecting someone's pronouns, we're now being forced to share their increasingly obscure and errant beliefs. This is Jessica Yaniv appearing on an Irish radio show and hanging up when challenged earlier today. Here's the clip.
You, yeah. If, let's say, for example, I don't want to accept you as a woman, and I say, listen, Jessica, I don't believe you're a woman, I believe you're a man dressed as a woman, and I say that. I don't believe that you have the right to tell me to listen to you, well, to believe you. I don't believe, like, for example, I'll give you an example. I don't believe in God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God?
I do.
Okay, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist, okay? Now, you believe in God. I respect the fact that you believe in God.
Yeah.
Right? And I respect your point of view, and I respect your belief in God and your faith in God. That doesn't mean I have to believe in God. Do you understand the point? So some people may not, they may respect you, and they may respect that you want to be called Jessica, but they may not believe. They just don't believe it. They say, that's fine, he wants to be called Jessica, that's fine, I'll call him Jessica, I'll respect that, but I don't believe it, and I don't buy into it. So what you're essentially asking these women to do is, you're asking them to do a service on you that they don't believe in. They don't want to handle a man's genitalia. Is that fair?
Yeah. Not really, because, you see, I'm protected under the BC Human Rights Code because I'm a protected class that being female.
Are those women not protected? Are those women not protected who have a right to say no?
They don't, because essentially essentially what happens
so
here
why,
is...
So why does your rights trump theirs?
That's exactly the thing. That's why the tribunal member is coming to a balancing act to see how rights play out in this whole thing.
I mean,
see which rights.
That's the concern I have. I mean, look, I've no problem. You do what you want to do, Jessica, and you live your life whatever way you want to live your life. But the concern I have is that those women should also be allowed to live their lives the way they want to live their lives.
But not when they discriminate against the rights of others.
But they'll argue that they're not discriminating. That they're just saying, I'm sorry, we don't supply a service of a bikini wax or a Brazilian or whatever it happens to be, or the removal of hair from a genitalia from a man, as far as they're concerned, because it's male genitalia. And that's what they're saying. They're saying we shouldn't be forced to do that. Oh, have we lost his line there? Hello, you there? We'll try and get him back in a second. He seems to have lost the line. Have we lost her line? She gone? Okay.
So later on Twitter, Jessica and Eve admitted that she hung up on that radio host who challenged her. So she did hang up. It wasn't just the line that was lost. The other aspect of this, whether it's a troll or not, it could be a giant troll. It could be an actual anti-identity politics troll, but it's still disgusting in every way imaginable. But the real world effect, or at least the online effect, is people are getting banned for challenging this individual, including a feminist who was, I think, banned several months ago for misgendering Jessica Yaniv. And the free speech activist Lindsay Shepherd was also banned a few days ago. Yaniv basically made fun of her reproductive abnormality, and Lindsay Shepherd responded by saying something like, I forget the exact quote, but it was something like, well, at least I have a uterus. Of course, in the world of Twitter's terms of service, where you can actually organize violence against people if you're Antifa, that's fine. The Rose City Antifa account that assaulted Andy Ngo, the journalist, still has their account. She committed the mortal sin of misgendering Jessica Yaniv, and her Twitter account is banned forever. And Lindsay Shepherd put out a video explaining what happened. This is a 5-minute clip. We're going to go to it right now. This is Lindsay Shepherd, free speech activist, on why she was banned by Twitter. Here it is.
Hi, everyone. I have been permanently banned from Twitter. And yes, I did file an appeal, but it was quickly denied. You may have watched the video that I made last night where I talk about this same topic, my Twitter ban, but I had to take it down and give it another shot because I had to make some corrections in order to comply with a publication ban. I was banned from Twitter for responding to a couple of tweets that an individual that I will only refer to as JY made about me. So JY has a very complicated backstory that is getting more and more disjointed. So all I'm going to say here is that JY purports to be a transgender woman, and JY is someone that lives in the same province that I do, which is why I probably feel a little more invested in this issue than other people who don't live in this province. There are leaked Facebook message screenshots where JY is trying to get advice on how to approach preteen girls in the female washrooms. And he says things like, can you see tampon strings hanging out of a girl's pussy? What do girls do in the bathroom stall? Wipe pussy and change panty liner? Oh, I'm going on the BC ferries next week, and lots of 10-year-old girls go on field trips on the ferry. How can I ask them for a tampon or pad? Should I teach a 10-year-old girl how to use a tampon? Yes, JY is very obsessed with the menstrual products of 10 to 12-year-old girls. So, JY on Twitter starts tweeting about how I'm dumb and how I have a loose vagina from pushing out a 10-pound baby. But JY has a tight pussy. So I tweeted back and basically said, if you want to sound like a woman, this is not really the way to do it because this is more of a male way of speaking. I said, he sounds like a guy who doesn't have a functional romantic relationship with a woman, but I guess that describes him pretty well. Then JY starts mocking how I have a reproductive abnormality called a septate uterus, and then I reply and I say, at least I have a uterus, you ugly fat man. I deleted the tweets in the morning when I woke up, but was permanently suspended by the afternoon. Some people have said that I should have never engaged with JY online. I shouldn't have sunk to his level. But the thing is, this is someone who straight up ruins people's lives. And I'm not talking about the Twitter bans. I'm talking about really ruining people's lives. And the reason I think the JY situation is so important is because it proves trans people are untouchable. JY is allowed to make crude and disgusting comments, and misogynistic comments, but when I want to talk back to him, stand up for myself, defend myself, I'm silenced and kicked off of the platform permanently. But JY receives no punishment and remains on the platform. The moral of the story is, you can't stand up for yourself against a trans person. Want more evidence of this? Watch the video I made called Did I Harass a Trans Person? I tell the story of a fellow grad student who made a complaint against me at my university. And he was a trans individual who would always try to instigate conflict with me, and he made a complaint saying I was the problem. So when it comes to trans people, they are untouchable. They are beyond criticism, beyond questioning, and you are not allowed to stand up for yourself against them. And sometimes the comment comes up like, why are you so focused on trans issues? And it's because, unfortunately, trans activism is one of the major hindrances to free speech and open inquiry in this country, if not the number one hindrance. Trans activism is responsible for silencing and stifling so many discussions that we need to have in our society. So thank you so much to everyone that is bringing attention to my Twitter ban and to the JY situation. I've already received so many kind messages. For the next little while, I will only be on YouTube until I can find another platform to hitch onto. So please do subscribe if you haven't already. Thanks so much for watching, and bye for now.
That was free speech activist Lindsay Shepherd banned by Twitter for misgendering Jessica Yaniv. Is this the biggest troll ever? Is this actually a troll to frame transgender people and make them look bad? It's that absurd. I don't know what's true at this point. Absolutely incredible. We'll be back with more news. This is The Alex Jones Show Live, 4th Hour. Breaking news at Infowars.com. We'll be back.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are back, and we've stopped talking about Jessica Yaniv, which most of you will be delighted about. A few months ago on Twitter, I put in my Twitter bio, he, him, as my preferred pronouns, as a joke. I removed them later, but I put them in for a few weeks as a joke. Now we have this headline out of the Daily Caller. These 2020 Democrats have their preferred gender pronouns in their Twitter bios. Of course, there are no transgender Democrat 2020 presidential candidates so far, at least, or any who have identified as transgender. But three prominent Democratic presidential candidates have their preferred gender pronouns in their Twitter bios. Former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro's bio declares he, him, L. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's bio says he, him. That's literally what I did as a joke. Now Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, has it. And Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's bio says she, her. Castro was the first candidate to add his preferred gender pronouns to his Twitter bio on July 1st. So this is something that's happened in the last 3 weeks. They've started putting their preferred gender pronouns in their Twitter bios. My prediction is that all the other candidates, or most of them, are going to do the same, otherwise they're going to start to be called transphobic. Can it get any more insane? Absolutely incredible. Meanwhile, this was a headline up at Summit News. Yesterday, AOC claims President Trump is sowing violence. She came out with a tweet. Now, there was a Louisiana police officer who said about AOC, quote, she needs a round, and I don't mean the kind she used to serve, which, of course, is completely disgusting, and that kind of language should not be tolerated. But, of course, what did AOC do in response to it? She fed it into her Trump derangement syndrome. Of course, death threats are horrible, targeted against anyone, but she exploited it by saying this is Trump's goal when he uses targeted language and threatens elected officials who don't agree with his political agenda. It's authoritarian behavior. The president is sowing violence. He's creating an environment where people can get hurt, and he claims plausible deniability. Now, this, of course, is within the environment of Democrats repeatedly telling their voters, their supporters, to go out and harass Trump supporters in restaurants, wherever they may be, as Maxine Waters said, of course. And in the case of AOC, this is pretty rich because the domestic Antifa terrorist who literally tried to massacre ICE agents and firebomb an ICE facility in Washington State last weekend put out a manifesto in which he specifically used the term concentration camps numerous times, which of course was the term applied to border detention centers. They're not concentration camps. That's completely ludicrous. Actual Holocaust victims have condemned her for using that language, and that language was used numerous times by Willem van Spronsen, the Antifa terrorist who tried to massacre ICE agents. You remember the story, quickly buried by the mainstream media. It actually wasn't even played up by, quote, right-wing media. There were a couple of Fox News stories about it. It was never really played up as a big story, but it was literally a domestic terrorist radicalized by the kind of rhetoric that AOC is responsible for. Does that mean she's responsible for the attack? No, that's not how it works. But you could at least say that it looks like he's been radicalized by that kind of rhetoric, because he wrote in his manifesto, quote, it's time to take action against the forces of evil, citing in part, quote, highly profitable detention / concentration camps and a battle over the semantics. Ocasio-Cortez has repeatedly referred to immigration detention facilities as concentration camps, despite vociferous complaints from actual Holocaust survivors. Ryan Savreda tweeted, Ocasio-Cortez claims without evidence that Trump is intentionally trying to get her assassinated. Last week, a domestic terrorist attacked an ICE facility and used AOC's rhetoric in his manifesto. AOC has refused to condemn the terrorist attack. You remember the video where rebel media reporter confronted both AOC and Ilhan Omar in the halls of Congress, asking them, will you denounce this Antifa attack? It's very easy to denounce a terrorist attack. They refused to do so. They said, oh, we'll put out a statement on it later. That statement never came. So she's accusing Trump of being responsible for this Louisiana police officer's death threat when a terrorist who tried to massacre ICE agents literally used her rhetoric just 10 days prior to that. And talking about violent assaults and threats, Corey Spartacus Booker is now dreaming, fantasizing about violently assaulting President Trump. Headline out of Zero Hedge, Corey Spartacus Booker wants to assault Trump, blames testosterone for violent fantasies. So he appeared on The Late Show with Seth Meyers last night, And he relayed a story from an Iowa campaign event where dozens of people showed up, one of whom told him to, quote, punch Donald Trump in the face. Because this is the new face of tolerance, is to violently attack anyone who has a different opinion to you because they're all Nazis. Dude, that's a felony, man, Booker replied before launching into his deep-seated desire to assault the president. He said, quote, Donald Trump is a guy who you understand he hurts you. And my testosterone sometimes makes me want to feel like punching him, which would be bad for this elderly out-of-shape man that he is if I did that. And then he went on to call Trump a, quote, physically weak specimen. And then he accused Trump of being a body shamer. So he's saying it's okay to assault Trump violently because he's a body shamer, while at the same time calling Trump out of shape and a physically weak specimen, which, of course, is the epitome of body shaming. He went on to say, quote, that's his tactics and you don't beat a bully like him. Fighting him on his tactics, on his terms, using his turf. He's the body shamer, Cory Booker said after literally just body shaming Trump. He's the guy that tries to drag people in the gutter. So he's literally fantasizing about violently attacking Trump because he's a body shamer while he just body shamed Trump. Zero Hedge asks, did Booker's testosterone make him similarly feel like sexually assaulting a girl in high school when he, quote, slowly reached for her breast, only for her to push his hand away once he reached his mark? And they provide the newspaper article where that alleged sexual assault is documented. Goes on to say, was Booker's out-of-control testosterone responsible for a credible allegation, his phrase, that he sexually assaulted a man, whether or not he identified as a man, remains to be seen, could have been Jessica Yaniv, in a public restroom, and then they detail that allegation. And did Booker fail to constrain his toxic masculinity when he browbeat former DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen last January over President Trump's comment that Haiti and parts of Africa are asshole countries? Sounds like Spartacus needs to get this under control. So once again, you have the Democrats whining about violent rhetoric all day when their supporters are literally in the streets. And let's not forget that CNN has done glorification pieces about Antifa over and over again. Their journalists, including Cuomo, have repeatedly praised Antifa. They're attacking journalists in the street. We had an Antifa domestic terrorist tried to blow up an ICE facility, citing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez rhetoric. But no, Donald Trump's bad because he body shames people and he deserves to be violently assaulted in the crazed mind of Cory Booker. Absolutely incredible. We'll be back. This is the Alex Jones Show Live. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Don't go away.
You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are back. Live, I'm going to get into some more news here in a second. Play a Mark Dice video about Bernie Sanders advocating for the minimum wage, campaigning for the $15 minimum wage, but not quite seeing it through when it comes to his own campaign staff. Meantime, I want to encourage everyone to go to InfoWarsStore.com where, as per usual, we have a raft of absolutely mammoth discounts on great products, including 40% off InfoWars Life protein bars, 40% off right now. Get the best of both worlds with InfoWars Life vanilla, coconut, and chocolate peanut butter protein bars. I've got some of these myself. They're hefty protein bars, and they're available limited supply right now for a massive 40% discount. Great tasting protein and energy in every bar. That is the InfoWars Life protein bar combo available right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Well, we also have up to 50% off emergency survival foods. You don't have to fear the worst to buy emergency storable food anymore. Great for camping or prepping. The InfoWars Life Select emergency storable food below is made with you in mind as one of the best for price and taste in preparedness and survival foods available. That was already basically dirt cheap. I've tried to buy storable food in Europe before. The costs are absolutely prohibitive. It's literally thousands and thousands of dollars for a tiny portion in comparison to what we're offering at InfoWarsStore.com. for up to 50% off. And again, you don't have to be a doomsday prepper to know that this is a great deal. Just eat the food if nothing happens. And of course, you can use it for camping purposes as well. Up to 50% off emergency survival foods right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Please continue to support this network by getting the products with massive discounts at InfoWarsStore.com. Headline, Bernie Sanders mocked for admitting he will have to cut staff hours to pay them $15 minimum wage. Not quite carrying through on the exact policy he's campaigning for. And Mark Dice put out a video today on this very subject. Here it is.
There's lectures, corporations, that they need to start paying their workers at least $15 an hour. And if he becomes president, he's going to raise the national minimum wage to just that.
Corporations like Walmart, like the fast food industry, like retail in general, and other employees, no reason now why they also should not be paying their employees at least $15 an hour.
But since liberals live by the philosophy of do what they say, not what they do, I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that Bernie Sanders has been paying his campaign staff less than that. And they're not happy about it. Bernie Sanders' campaign workers demand the $15 an hour pay that the candidate has proposed for employees nationwide. How embarrassing has it got to be for these people to work for a guy who's promising a $15 minimum wage for everybody in America when he's not even paying them that? So out of embarrassment, since this has been making headlines recently, Bernie's decided to give everybody a raise. But in order to pay for it, he's cutting back on their hours. This is probably the best economic lesson that these staffers are ever going to get in their entire lives. You see, liberals, the pie is only so big. And the more pieces you try to cut out of it, the smaller those pieces are. The $15 an hour minimum wage is basically the agreed-upon talking point by all the Democrat candidates running for president. But as you know, the Democrats these days keep trying to one-up each other in terms of who can offer more free stuff. So Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib is now saying it should be $20 an hour.
$15? By the way, when we started it, it should have been $15. Now I think it should be $20. Picture America rising here. It should be $20 an hour.
That's a great idea, Rashida, especially since the Congressional Budget Office recently calculated that if the minimum wage is raised to just $15 an hour, it'll actually end up costing Americans 1.3 million jobs. There's a reason we keep seeing more and more kiosks at fast food restaurants, grocery stores, and home improvement stores, because if they're going to have to pay people $15 an hour, they're just going to replace them with a computer. All the regulars at CNN must be on summer vacation this week, because the woman who interviewed Kamala Harris yesterday actually asked her some real questions and pointed out the fact that her Medicare for All plan actually won't work unless she dramatically raises taxes on the middle class, which Kamala says she's just not going to do.
And all of this done without a middle class tax hike.
Without a middle class tax hike? Yes.
$30 trillion over 10 years. And when people question that there is no formula for this, that you are going to find money in magical ways, is not realistic thinking. How do you respond to that?
The status quo is not enough.
I'm not sure what this woman is doing on CNN, because these are the kinds of questions that are asked on a real news network. There must be some mistake here. More evidence that everybody at CNN is on summer vacation this week is this woman, who also appeared on air to explain that Elizabeth Warren's supposed plan to prevent another economic crisis would, in fact, cause one.
Now, as far as her policy proposals, she is recommending lowering rents, offering affordable child care, offering free tuition at colleges. All of that costs money, and the American public should be asking, how do you pay for it? One way would be to increase taxes. Another way is to increase government debt. This is the issue that the American people should be actually focused on, because many experts say if we don't get control of our debt over the next 10 years, we could be facing a fiscal crisis, and that would be extraordinarily harmful to our economy.
At some point in the future, and I don't know when, it could be 10 or 20 years down the road, this country's going to have a huge, huge problem, and we probably will go bankrupt. There's too much debt, the government's too big, there's too many entitlements, and someday they're going to probably hyperinflate the dollar into oblivion.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the very continent their fathers conquered.
President Trump really is this country's last hope, but he's holding back the dam from bursting, but it's still building pressure and leaking like a sieve. And when he's out of office, look out. Hopefully that won't be for another 6 years, and we can all stay busy working to restore our republic.
That was Mark Dice talking about Bernie Sanders not following through on his $15 minimum wage promise within his own campaign. For all his faults, though, Bernie Sanders does recognize that you can't have a giant welfare state and mass migration at the same time, which brings me onto this headline. Time magazine calls for migration brainwashing courses in schools. Now, this was an article in Time magazine. It was written by a group, a couple of individuals from a group called ISD. What is ISD? Well, they work with governments to combat extremism. Now, lo and behold, I looked at their website and looked at who funded ISD, this group that is literally pushing for migration brainwashing courses to be introduced in schools to push the idea that it's always positive. And imagine my shock, they're funded by the United Nations Development Programme, Google, Facebook, the European Commission, and Open Society Foundations, which, of course, is George Soros. But you can't mention that anyone is funded by Open Society Foundations, even though literally dozens of major NGOs are, because, of course, that's anti-Semitic. The article frets about how popular support for politicians who build their campaigns around anti-migrant and anti-Muslim themes have surged across the Western world, and theories such as the Great Replacement and white genocide have effectively made their ways into societal and political discourse. Isn't it amazing how you can only talk about the demographic decline of white voters if you're doing so in a positive context? In fact, on the very day this article was published, Axios published another article saying that the Republicans are in big trouble because their white demographic voting base is swiftly disappearing. That's okay to talk about the demographic decline of white people so long as you say it's a fantastic thing. If you dare suggest that there might be any negative consequences, then you're engaging in neo-Nazi rhetoric. And now they want public brainwashing courses introduced into schools to try and combat anyone who criticizes mass migration. And by the way, they also included me in a report about the Swedish election, complaining about the fact that I influenced the Swedish election because of my videos about the problems caused by mass migration in Sweden. Absolutely incredible. This is the Alex Jones Show. Infowars.com. We'll be back.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are back, and we're going to hit some big final news stories here. Headline up on summit.news. Total anarchy. De Blasio blasted over video showing NYPD cops doused with water. You may or may not have seen this today. Similar situation to what happened in London, where a total lack of respect for the police, which was instituted from the top down, led to spiraling crime rates in London. We had a situation once where, of course, stop and search was heavily restricted because it was called racist. We had another situation in London where police were told they couldn't chase criminals on mopeds, on scooters, if they weren't wearing helmets. And it basically ended up in just criminals just openly laughing in the face of police officers. As they got away with crimes, the crime rate spiked. New York's crime rate has been going down thanks to their tougher policies, but that could be about to change soon. And now Mayor Bill de Blasio is facing heat over videos that show NYPD officers getting doused with water, with outraged cops blaming de Blasio for being soft on crime. Now, these two incidents happened in Harlem and Brooklyn. In one case, the cops were actually arresting someone and got doused with water. Somebody threw a bucket at the head of one of these cops. In the other clip, you show them getting absolutely deluged with water. They just walk away calmly. They don't even retaliate, even though that's literally assaulting a police officer. It's a crime. They just walk away and do nothing. And apparently, this is because of Mayor Bill de Blasio's softening approach to crime. Sources within the NYPD said the footage was evidence of wider anarchy taking hold across the city. Everybody's outraged, an NYPD source said. It's disgusting, embarrassing. There's lawlessness around here now. Police Chief Terence Monaghan called the footage reprehensible, while another officer blamed the incidents on the NYPD's hands-off approach to these guys that de Blasio has encouraged. He said, who does that in their right frame of mind? People who believe there are no consequences, which is exactly what happened in London. It's total anarchy. This is very sad. Pat Lynch, Patrolman's Benevolent Association, said it was anti-police rhetoric that led to what you're seeing right now in these videos, creating a culture totally lacking in respect. He said, as police officers, we need to draw a line in situations like this. We need to take action to protect ourselves and the public. He says the politicians do not care. Rudy Giuliani also came out and slammed this, writing, this disrespect for the uniform in New York City is a result of Democrat, progressive, retrogressive socialist mayor. This is what happens with knee-jerk disrespect for police. It will only get worse until these left-wing idiots are defeated. So Rudy Giuliani's calling it out. Absolutely lawless situation in New York where you can just assault a police officer by throwing a bucket of water at their head and throwing the water over them, and basically nothing is done. Meanwhile, Megan Rapinoe, everybody's favorite US women's soccer star, who apparently thinks she's Jesus now, complained that her national anthem protest was not well received despite her being a non-threatening white woman. Or could it be because she's an obnoxious, insufferable, petulant child? Rapinoe became one of the first white athletes to kneel during the national anthem and subsequently stated, I'll probably never sing the national anthem again. You'll also recall that she was involved in that incident where they let the American flag drop on the ground during their celebrations, widely seen as a big insult. She told CNN's Van Jones that her anti-national anthem protest, in which she kneeled in one case and refused to put her hand on her heart in the other, refused to sing the national anthem. She said, I actually felt like it was going to be received a little better because she's white and a woman. She then reeled off a list of vague justifications for protesting against the anthem. Social justice this, social justice that, blah, blah, blah. And of course, she was caught on video in an article that we had a couple of weeks ago ranting, I deserve this, while holding the World Cup trophy, and appears to attempt to make herself the center of attention at every available opportunity. Again, soccer, or football as we call it, is a team game. When you win, you act humble and you thank the rest of your team members and you console the defeated opposition. That's the whole idea behind soccer or football as invented in England, the gentleman's game. But no, she's took it, used it, fed it into her narcissistic zeal to be the center of attention for everything. And now she's shocked that people don't like her. Although many people do, of course, the resistance love her. They actually did a poll which showed that she would beat President Trump in a hypothetical election. Whether that poll is accurate, given that all the others before the last election weren't, I would suggest that it's not too on point. Meanwhile, Google pulls veterans ad over unacceptable keyword Christian. Google-owned YouTube denied an ad for a veterans charity because it deemed Christian to be an unacceptable keyword. Maybe they should have just called them Easter worshippers. That's the politically correct term for Christians now. You can't say Christian anymore. It's offensive. Over in Europe, Algerian soccer fans, France used to colonize us, but today we colonize them. Last week and the week before that, every other night or every three nights in Paris, in Lyon, in Marseille, in these major French cities, after the Algerian soccer team won, and they did end up winning the Africa Cup of Nations, they basically went absolutely crazy, rioted, looted stores. In one instance, one guy was wielding a chainsaw, throwing objects at police. This is how they celebrate. This is their culture. This is diversity. This is cultural enrichment. And one Algeria soccer fan was caught on tape with a message for the French after their Africa Cup of Nations win. He said, quote, France used to colonize us, but today we colonize them. Now, you always get football fans who go out and riot. You've seen it before with basketball fans and things like that. This seemed overtly political, though, didn't it? This is basically Islamists bragging about how they're planning on colonizing France. There was another incident in this article, which the video is down below, where a couple of French women, young women, are sat in the car. They're rocking the car. The women are forced to get out and leave, which is probably the best situation that could have arisen out of that, given what happened in Cologne, Germany, New Year's Eve. The fans reportedly stole the women's bags of money, with one justifying the act of criminality by asserting, they are women, their place is at home. And these are the kind of people who feminists want to bring into France and Europe in general en masse for our continued cultural enrichment. Matteo Salvini doesn't know, the interior minister of Italy. He said Paris and Berlin will no longer impose mass migration on Italy. This story out of Voice of Europe. In a letter sent to French Interior Minister Christophe Castaner, Italy's national populist interior minister and deputy prime minister Matteo Salvini declared that his country will not bear the brunt of mass migration into Europe. He said France and Germany cannot decide on migration policies by ignoring the demands of the most exposed countries like us and Malta. So Salvini, again, remains steadfast in preventing the cultural enrichment of Italy, which was going so well before, wasn't it? What else have we got here? We've got Mayor Pete Buttigieg, white nationalism, the most deadly form of terrorism in the United States. He conveniently hasn't included the 9/11 attack, the Pulse nightclub shooting, the San Bernardino shooting, the Boston Marathon bombing, or the shooting at a military base in Fort Hood, Texas, which claimed a total of 2,977 American lives. Conveniently left that out of his equation when he's, again, trying to tie into this hysteria over white nationalism being the biggest terrorist threat. Headline on InfoWars, journalists triggered over fake news short sold by Forever 21. Corporate journalists are triggered over a $9.90 pair of boxer shorts emblazoned with the phrase fake news sold by Forever 21. They're literally saying that this is inciting violence against journalists. A local report with the Baltimore Sun publicly blasted Forever 21 for selling the shorts. Yet her tweet might actually sell more shorts since she's given the product more publicity than it likely had before. Maybe an idea for the InfoWars store to get some fake news apparel. Another local journalist, a sports reporter, suggested the shorts expressed hatred for journalists. So now you can't even create a satirical item of clothing because journalists are going to get triggered by it. Absolutely incredible. Meanwhile, Trump calls squad nightmare for America. President Trump on Tuesday insisted he will add Minnesota to his win column in the 2020 presidential election because voters will side with him against the state's far-left Democratic Rep. Ilhan Omar. Of course, Trump nearly won Minnesota in 2016. Looked like he was going to win it for a long time. Now his strategy of making the squad the face of the Democrats is working a treat. Of course, we had CNN come out and quote Democratic insiders who said, as I said last week, Trump had pulled off an absolute masterstroke by keeping the media focus on these four because their favorability ratings with Democratic swing voters are extremely low, in Rep. Ilhan Omar's case, as low as 9%. That's going to wrap it up for the show. War Room with Owen Schroyer is coming up next. Breaking news at InfoWars.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.